Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is the perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life there's no surrender. And there's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. The ones who will never be broken.
Hello, folks, and thank you once again for coming to Bard's Logic Political Talk, part of the growing conservative conversation, and also part of the Patriot Journalist Network. And you can find the Patriot Journalist Network by going to www.patriotjournalist.com. So please check it out and join our Twitter group that has over 2,000 members and reaching over 7 million timelines. So that's at www.patriotjournalistnetwork.com. And, of course, speaking of Bard's Logic, check out the website as well at www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. And also check out while you're there all the different pages, including our Give page, which has some great organizations and charities there that can definitely need your help. And so tonight, so we got some background going on there, so whoever might be on, if they can, interesting. Anyway, I took care of that. But anyway, so we've got, okay, great. I'm just looking at the mic. We've got all of our guests here, including some of our panelists. And tonight, joining our round table is me, the host. And, of course, we'll hear from our panelist, Jane Neighbors, from Overpasses for America. And hopefully we'll hear also from our conservative activist, Cindy Todd, and author, Kelly Mordecai. Of course, we'll have tonight our contributor, Dan Gray, and the guests, who are the co-founders of Citizens for Liberty, Steve Petrowski, and the founder of the Bethel, Pennsylvania chapter of Campaign for Liberty, Dean Klopp. And in the description of the show, you can see some short bios about the gentleman that we'll have on tonight, so check it out as well when you read this, whether it's live now or if you're listening on the archive. We thank you very much. And, of course, remember, Bard's Logic is the grassroots We the People show. So at this time, I will be bringing in Mr. Gray, and thank you very much, Dan, for coming into the show. How are you tonight?
Excellent, excellent, Bob. I really appreciate your having us on this evening. A couple of business points. You mentioned the Patriot Journalist Network on Twitter. I am proud, and I hate politicians who say they're proud, but maybe it's just a coincidence. There are over 2,000. I was number 1,776 to sign up on Patriot Journalist Network.
So wow, that's awesome. Nice.
And for your listeners, one of the things in my little capsule bio there, I'm real busy, that wasn't mentioned, and it's not the most important thing, but it's where I get my best vetted information is from Heritage Foundation. I'm the Heritage Action Sentinel. And today, the Bob Jetter Show, I know you don't call it the Bob Jetter Show, it's Bard's
right.
Logic, but was tweeted by the Heritage Foundation nationwide. So I assume that we're going to have a lot of listeners. Let's give them a great show tonight.
Well, I appreciate that, Dan. I really do. That's great to hear. I've seen that when they posted it, and I put a little thing. That's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to see that. I appreciate it.
Means you're getting somewhere.
Well, great. The show is getting somewhere. Bard's Logic is getting somewhere, and that's great because it's about, for those who are listeners who are new, the show is about the grassroots, and it's your show, the people show. And you'll see a little description there, too, on the Bard's Logic Political Talk website at www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. But we do have Dean and Steve on the line, so I'll go ahead and open up both of their mics. And if you'd like to do a short introduction, we'll start with Dean. And so Dan, if you want to give a little short intro about Dean,
sure.
Go ahead, and then we'll bring you on.
Dean Klopp
is in
the central part of Pennsylvania in a little town called Bethel, which you can find on the map. It's a wonderful part of Berks County, a historic area, and Dean is a successful self-made businessman, and he's fed up, and he's a Paulite, and he has started a, which many of us are, he has started a Campaign for Liberty chapter. He was inspired to do so, and I have been to organizing things since, oh, God, for decades, even back when I was a progressive. I've never seen such enthusiasm. I've never seen a group grow faster than Dean's group, and it's because of the excellent people and the leadership, which is a gentle kind of leadership. Like, Bob, on your show, you respect people. Well, Dean listens and respects people, too. So, Dean, go ahead.
Dan, thank you so much. I don't know what to say. I'm blushing. Can you hear that?
I can, all the way down in Texas. You're at the Alamo, aren't you?
I was at the Alamo today, yes, and how inspiring is that? Isn't it amazing how history keeps repeating itself, Dan and Bob? It's just amazing, you know, people fighting for their liberties. It seems never-ending throughout history, and here we are. We've come full circle once again, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
I do want to say one thing about groups growing fast. I think I'll take a back seat to Steve Petrosky's group. that man's just on fire in Norristown, and I have a great deal of respect for him.
Yeah, we're going to get to Steve in just a moment, and I might as well say a bit about Steve Petrosky. He and his twin brother and his mom and his sisters and his sister-in-law and his entire family and his little kids are a Patriot family who are all intimately involved with this group, but it's not just their family. That family feeling has extended to an amazing amount of people in the Norristown, Valley Forge, King of Prussia area, which is the suburbs of Philadelphia. If you want to talk about an active group in this country, and I'm in touch with so many of them, there is no more active group, and they have been growing, but it's a different kind of growth than you're used to seeing. There's no specific focus on just one issue. Any issue that comes along, local, national, state, whether it's a political issue or an issue just of liberty, whether it's an issue of freedom, if it's right, if it's true, they get behind it and they do things about it. So, Steve, go ahead.
Okay,
and I really do appreciate
your mic. It's live. Thank you.
Hi, Steve.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. I really do appreciate it. Wow. Dean, you're in Texas, huh?
I am. I'm at the Alamo, Steve. I'll send you some pictures.
Yeah, send me some pictures. Maybe I'm kind of jealous right now because it's probably like 30 degrees, maybe 20 right now. So what's the temperature down there?
It's about 50 right now. It was up to 60 this afternoon.
Oh, it was up to 60. Okay, I shouldn't even ask. But, yeah, just wanted to thank everybody for having me on. And, yeah, I'm with a grassroots organization called Citizens for Liberty. I've been active in the Tea Party for about, I'd say since 2009. Been in leadership positions with other groups as well. But then we just decided to get together, me and my family, and say, you know what, enough is enough. We just wanted to do things our way and do it differently. And I think it's been a success. We started our group in May of 2012, and we've just been on fire ever since. You know, our whole thing is trying to unite the Patriot movement or the Liberty movement or whatever you want to call it. We all try to unite people for the common cause. So that's basically what Citizens for Liberty is about. We do have a mixture and a variety of people that come. We have Second Amendment supporters. We have people that don't support the Second Amendment. We have Ron Paul people that don't like Ron Paul. So it's kind of like a melting pot of freedom lovers. But the beautiful thing is, with our group and as well as other groups as well, that Dan's involved in and Dean is too, is that we all come together for the common goal on certain issues.
Now, that's
really
the whole reason
about the Patriot movement.
That's the whole reason why I was interested in having Steve and Dean on here, because, quite frankly, all too often, I see people with their specific issues and their specific focuses getting sidetracked. All too often, I'm on Facebook. Everybody's on Facebook, and I see debates on issues and tactics that quickly degenerate into schoolyard taunts. And frequently, all of the sides start direct messaging me, and they're complaining about the other party. And it's like, well, you know, they're being a bunch of doo-doo heads, and they're justifying their own positions. And in attempts to try and pour oil on the waters and calm stormy seas, I say the exact same thing to each of these infighters. And usually what happens is I'll get grudging acceptance that the other side is honest and useful. And, okay, we'll give you a commitment to at least give another try to being in accord. And to be honest with you, this is getting old fast. As I constantly remind everybody, I will and you should work with anyone and everyone who's willing to fight for two basic things: restoration of limited constitutional government and fiscal common sense. I mean, we all have these wonderful patriot groups fighting the same elitist, statist, progressive foes, but do we work as a team? Some do, but not enough. Are we pulling together against this oppressive yoke of growing tyranny? So some do, as I said. More and more do, but it's not enough. Some are starting to understand that it's imperative to not only attack on all fronts, every single issue, but also to lend moral support, material support, and spiritual aid to our brothers and sisters in liberty. At a very minimum, we have to avoid open internecine battles, you know, between ourselves that tear us down, that take our strength and divide us. This makes us remain weak and easy to defeat in detail. One of the things that I really appreciated about getting involved with Dean's group and with Steve's group is that they offer support. They hear that something's going on with someone else, and even if it's not their sole particular focus, they say, hey, you know, this is a good thing. It helps us. And they'll promote the event on Facebook or on Twitter, and they'll tell their friends, and they'll come out in force. They'll show up. Showing up is nine-tenths of what goes on here. Well, somebody else want to chime in? Because I could keep going.
Well, I couldn't agree more. That's how I met Dan. I don't know what it was. Like, we didn't know each other, and it's probably how I met half my, like, patriots on Facebook. It's like we came together for a cause, you know. It's like all of a sudden, you know, I find out Dan's speaking at a gun rally that my brother's holding, and then, hey, we're all meeting up in, like, a restaurant talking about it. Like, it's amazing. But, yeah, he's got a good point when Dan was talking about how a lot of the different groups, like, you know, sometimes they're, I don't know, get upset or, you know, call other groups not patriots because, you know, God forbid if you don't agree out of, like, 7, 8, 9, or 10 things. Like if you can find that one or two or three things that you disagree with to another group, like, they just need to get over it. They really do, and find the focus, you know, focus on the cause. That's what it's all about. Like, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Green. We're Americans. That's what it's about, and got to come together. And the Patriot Movement, wow, I'm only 31 years old. I've only been involved in this since 2009, besides when I was in eighth grade arguing with my teacher about, you know, Bill Clinton, but we're not going to get into that. Yeah. Well, I can blame my mother for that.
Your mother
is
awesome.
We're not going to get into that, though. Yeah, I'm sure my mother's listening, and she's laughing right now. But, yeah, I've been involved in so long, I just see it stronger. It seems like we're in a revolution of, like, consciousness. You know, we're in a revolution of awakening. People are waking up. You know, just there's no words to explain it. And we just – people have their little own issues and nitpicks, but we can't let anything divide us. For example, like, I feel like I'm a uniter, not a divider. I can be your worst enemy one day and your best friend the next. For example, I was at a drone protest months ago down in Horsham, Pennsylvania, which is a suburb of Philadelphia, and we were protesting against Obama's drones because in Horsham, right outside of Philadelphia, besides the beautiful Homeland Security Fusion Center that they're building in South Philadelphia, they are also building adding on additions to a drone command center where the drones that you see flying in Pakistan killing American citizens or in Afghanistan will be operating from there. So we are protesting that. And to make a long story short, there was a progressive in the peace movement who came there. He was passing out flyers. He was an anti-gunner. There's a rally going on next weekend, a pro-gun rally that I was actually going to attend. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's passing out flyers, you know, stand up against the, you know, the guns. We're anti-gun. So I take the paper. I laugh at him. I'm like, okay, I'm here today. Next week we're going to be fighting. But that's the beautiful thing about a lot of people in our area. We can come together no matter what the issue is, and people got to just get out. I would give advice to everybody that's listening. I think the problem is that people have to get, especially in the Patriot movement, with all due respect, they have to get outside of their own comfort zone and learn, listen, just because you disagree with me on this, you're not the enemy. Maybe on that one particular issue, but you're not the enemy.
Well, that's a good point. Each Patriot, in their heart or in their mind or in their gut, they find just what moves and motivates them to stop sitting on the sidelines silently, and then they rise and take action. We all have different focuses. We're all different. We're individuals, and we respect liberty. I know a few honest Democrats who agree with me 100% on the First Amendment, who agree with me 100% on fighting the Trans-Pacific Partnership, who are against drone warfare where the president just says, hey, kill them, with no due process. They don't have to be our enemies if they're willing to fight with us for causes that we do agree on. Now, just as some for instances before we bring Dean back in, some see the right to life as paramount. Now, others see that as a sideline. That was actually the very first issue that tore at my heart and led me on this path to what I consider to be truth as much as I can know it, from my progressive roots to constitutionalism. Others insist, and this is a very, very strong group, thank God for these people, that the right to keep and bear arms is key. And that was the second thing that moved me. After getting involved in gun violence in Philadelphia, I joined the NRA and became part of the Institute for Legislative Action over a quarter of a century ago. Now, there are some who consider that view dangerous, and they say that it's reasonable to restrict that right, but we can accept their reservations as long as we don't give up our guns. Everybody agrees on the right to free speech, but you see this all the time on all sides. Although we consistently disagree on what free speech actually means, and we're reluctant to allow those with opposing viewpoints to get their words in, we say we agree on this. And the list goes on. Right to work. I sued SEIU last year. I'm big with right to work. There are people who say, no, unions are a good thing the way they are. And I say, not the way they are. But even though we have differences, we can work together. Now, to bring Dean back in, I want to give you a little segue. Working with Campaign for Liberty, which is the Ron Paul group, and I've been to their training sessions and a number of meetings besides Dean's group, they have a specific focus on political activism and what works. And it's based on what works, on Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, interpreted from an honest point of view rather than a progressive point of view. But it's not the only thing that works. When I get emails and informative things from Campaign for Liberty, it says, look, you know, rallies, they're not that effective. And yet, rallies can be effective. They're not the only way. Petitions, you don't need to do petitions. And letters to the editors, what we need to do is get people on record, hold them for their feet to the fire, put that pressure on them. And guess what? They're right, and the other groups can be right, too. I say we attack on all fronts. So, Dean, what do you say?
Well, I agree with all of that, Dan. We believe in putting people on the record and exposing that record, making people fully aware. Whether it's advertising, whether it's done at public town hall meetings, where we usually catch the politician with their pants down, and they're just not expecting us to show up. We've been leading on with some of these town hall meetings by making 4,000 or 5,000 robocalls the night before and getting people turned out, and they're pissed off.
That is awesome.
That's what we want. We want angry voters in the faces of politicians. And we want to tie the legislative season, which is going on right now, to the voting season. We want to marry the two. Too often these politicians keep it separate, and that's how they keep getting away with it. People are not exposing their record, and people are not holding them accountable, and that's what we set out to do. And once again, we're a fledgling group, but there is a wealth of experience behind us in the Campaign for Liberty organization started by Ron Paul in 2008, as you mentioned. And, you know, we're just learning and growing, and we're just scratching the scratch of the tip of the iceberg right now. We've had experiences shared with us from Eric Boy in Delaware and how they squashed some gun control issues, and which appear to be popping up here now in Pennsylvania. There's a state representative out of Philadelphia, I just want to mention here, who wants to introduce a bill that says we all need mental checks. Every gun owner and their families all need some sort of mental health screening.
Well, if you want a gun, you must be crazy.
This is outrageous. And I think we'll be making a trip down past you sometime soon, Steve. That's what I was talking about the other night to you a little bit. But as far as unity, that's what the show is about tonight. And in my experience, I guess, say first off, what brought me into the fold, so to speak, what brought me into the movement, as Dan mentioned, I'm a businessman. So I'm a numbers guy, and I pay attention to debt. And I work my tail off to get out of debt, both personally and business-wise. And RP really shed light onto that for me, and that's why I worked for him in his campaign and now got together and started a chapter, one of his chapters here in Berks County, Pennsylvania, or there in Berks County, Pennsylvania. But what I first was exposed to before the chapter was even started is that I made my rounds to all these Tea Party groups. Even met Steve about a year ago at one of his meetings, and which I was very impressed with, and got to know a lot of these different people and groups. And whereas I saw maybe some divisiveness a year ago, I really see that starting to clear up now. In fact, I was invited to a group meeting in Berks County last week with some of these different splinter groups, people who come from Berks County Patriots, the Lebanon 912 group, the Berks Tea Party group, and other groups that have maybe sprouted from them. And they're all trying to work through their differences right now. It's very encouraging. And I'm very happy to be a part of that. And if I can be a unifying factor, that's what I intend to be. And I'm very happy to be in the position I'm in right now.
That's a good endorsement of all of those different groups, because they are really, really trying to come together and work on issues. Now, I know that you mentioned gun control, but you're also interested in your group on things like, and I'd like both of you to discuss this, you, Dean and Steve. In your group, Dean, I know that you're working on property tax reform and gun control and a number of other issues. And Steve, you're actually writing legislation to counter the Agenda 21 of the United Nations here in this country. So would the two of you like to discuss that?
I guess
I'll...
yeah,
let's,
yeah,
let's
I was going
to say... Go, Steve, and then, go ahead, Steve, and then Dean. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Well, yeah, you know, there's numerous things that, like, our group and every other group in the area, God forbid, we're all working on. You know, it seems like a lot of these groups are even, like people... They kind of work on emotion, I've noticed. You know, last year, I remember there was, like, a huge thing in Pennsylvania, you know, Moulin Lobby, you know, gun rights, but it's starting to pick up again. There's a bill that Darrow Metcalf, he's in our General Assembly for Pennsylvania State Legislature, called HB 357. It's basically nullification. For those of the people that are listening that don't know what nullification is, it's basically states' rights. It's enacted through the 10th Amendment. Whatever the federal government passes as law or proposes, you know, any kind of unjust, unconstitutional law, we have the power in our state or any states, respectfully, to say no. So that's nullification. That's something my group's working on. Right now, my group recently had Citizens for Liberty. We had a meeting last month about Agenda 21. We never did that in our 2 years of existence. We've always touched on things like the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Federal Reserve, like you name it. Just go down the list, the United Nations. We're really big on exposing the globalists. without scaring people away, you know. So what I'm working on right now is Agenda 21. It's a I guess you could consider it a nullification bill. For example, it's drafted kind of like a similar version, kind of like model legislation, believe it or not, in Alabama. Alabama, they recently passed an anti-Agenda 21 bill. They're rejecting the United Nations. They're rejecting, if you can call it, globalists or foreign entities coming into their state and trying to take control of their private property rights. That's what Agenda 21 is. Agenda 21 is all about the collectivist. It's not about the individual rights. It's not about respecting U.S. sovereignty or even our own individual sovereignty. So I said, you know what? It's time. It's time to actually do something about it. Enough talking, because ever since I've been involved in the Tea Party, I don't consider our group a Tea Party group. I don't know what it is. It's just a group that comes together for freedom. We're a freedom group. But anyway, I was sick of just going to all these different meetings over the past few years and hearing about it. Agenda 21, we must do something, you know, going to meetings, learning, and, you know, you feel good. You feel like you're doing something, but you got to take it to the next level, and that's exactly what I did. I'm introducing legislation to Pennsylvania legislators. Anybody can do that. You know, everybody has you have the power. People can write a bill. Just, you know, you just got to do a little practice and maybe whatever, you know, kind of introduce it to a legislator, and they have to co-sponsor it, which means that they basically, you know, goes through their staff and whatnot, and they review it or whatever, and it's possible. A nullification bill was actually passed a few years ago recently through our current governor, Governor Tom Corbett, which was a bill that said no to the federal government because the federal government was trying to force everybody to have a federal ID. You know, so we did that, and it is working throughout several states. Several other states are rejecting Obamacare. I believe California and Alaska just rejected. They said no to the NDAA. If the federal government wants to come in there and enforce that law, by passing that law in the state, they have the power to just escort the federal government out of there, because that's what nullification is. Nullification is standing on the ideals of what we are founded upon. The states created the federal government, not the other way around. And the creator is always more powerful than the creation. So that's where the ideal of nullification comes from. So I'm looking to get this passed and further protect private property rights in Pennsylvania. I dubbed the bill the Private Property Preservation Act, because our rights are under attack from different levels in and out of the government. You know, you have think tanks. You have, for example, people in the sustainable movement, the green movement, that want to take away our private property rights as well as dictate and control our environmental rights, all for the greater good of the environment, but we know that's not true. But that's
exactly
what I'm doing.
I'm going to chime in real quick, because that's a spoke to our listeners here, you know, on a regular basis here, that's a topic that's, you know, true to my heart, is I do consider myself an environmentalist, a conservative environmentalist, and that's one thing about Agenda 21 that really burns me, is that, you know, they put it, they ensconce it in the protection of the environment, but it's not about that at all. It is about control, and so I just want to, you know, chime in on that. But real quick, because it is about the bottom of the hour, and so I want to let folks know that at the top of the next hour, we will be bringing in the panelists for calls, as well as after they speak, we'll bring in people from the audience. If you'd like to chime in as well out there in the audience and you want to be a part of our roundtable discussion, then give us a call here at 347-945-7428. And again, it's 347-945-7428. And if folks are interested in the Agenda 21 issue, we've had guest on here, Rosa Corey, you may be familiar with her. She's actually a liberal who is against Agenda 21. So if people want to go through the archives and find that show, you can hear where we interviewed her some time ago. But let me get the interruption so I can get that through, and go ahead.
Well, actually, I was wondering if we could have Dean chime in, because, Dean, in the short time that your group has been in existence, you've had some excellent informational speakers, and why don't you tell us about the outreach that you've had to other groups and the issues that your group has been addressing most recently?
Well, thank you for that, Dan. And we did set out to be a unifying force right from the start. And right from the get-go, we chose a target of property tax independence, and that is the Senate Bill 76 in Pennsylvania right now. It is not necessarily a liberty issue. Some will argue. I will argue that it is, because it's all about property rights and or lack of. One thing that concerns me is that how one group of people can be outraged and the next person is not, because they're seemingly not affected. Well, if, Dan, your property rights and your property, if your property rights are affected and your property can be seized and taken from you by the state, then I'm next, or the next guy down the road. So property tax independence to me is a shift in the tax base. Some people don't get excited about that, but it'll begin to eliminate the 40,000 foreclosures every year in Pennsylvania. Most of those people elderly, retired, lower middle income people struggling to make ends meet, and even when they can afford to pay their mortgage, these people are finding it impossible to pay their school taxes on their property. So we've been fighting that from the beginning, and we have brought in speakers from these different groups I mentioned earlier. We brought in Jim Rodkey from the Lebanon 912 group. We brought in Rich Shooker from who had formerly been with Eyes on Pennsylvania. This month we're bringing in David Baldinger, who is the layman author of the bill, who worked with Representative Jim Cox, as well as Senator Dave Argall, on the bill that's in the legislature right now. So Dave's this retired guy living in Southern Berks County somewhere, and, you know, he's had this inspiration for some years since property tax independence was introduced by Sam Rohrer maybe a decade ago. So he's picked this ball back up that's been dropped by a legislator. And it's funny how resistance and party leadership can become a unifying force for our groups. It's funny where this bill may be sponsored by Republicans, it's not supported by the Republican leadership. And you have this, and of course you have the leftists who don't care about our property rights either. But it's funny, the bill in the Senate right now has a pretty even sponsorship of 13 Democrats and 13 Republicans. It's a nonpartisan issue. The issue is about property tax and about the 400,000 people that are in foreclosure and the 40,000 people a year that are losing their homes in Pennsylvania. If that doesn't stir a person, I don't know what will.
Well, the reason it is a liberty issue is very clear. As you said, if they can take from one, then it's merely a matter of tweaking the rules to make it so that they can take from any. And if
right.
I own my home and my home is paid off, why do I continue to have to be under threat of having that home seized if I don't pay money every single year? And they will seize it and they will sell it and I will lose my equity if I don't pay. Look, the list of issues is nearly endless. If you look at what we're facing, we've got gun rights and NDAA and Agenda 21 and a massive debt. There's illegal immigration, war on drugs. There's judicial activism, corrupt cronyism like Solyndra. There's this mass media that's been completely suborned, and they're supine. They lay down for the progressive cause. Public morals have been degraded. Common Core is destroying what's left of our public education system. There's voter fraud, and it may not be in your county, folks, but if you live in a big city that's being ruined by the progressives, you can bet they have targeted voter fraud. And anyone who wants to argue with me can do so and prove to me how they can have 108% turnout of registered voters with 100% of the vote for one particular party or person. That just doesn't happen. We've got betrayal of our international allies. We've got appeasement of communist dictators and Islamo-fascists. We've got an administration that willfully ignores all constitutional duties and bounds. So which issue is key? The answer is every one of them. There's no telling which counterattack may be the straw that breaks the camel's back. There's no telling which spark will ignite a conflagration against this corruption. Nobody expected Duck Dynasty to come out of nowhere and unite all these, or Chick-fil-A. These didn't seem like anything, and then all of a sudden it struck, as Steve was saying, an emotional chord with people. And by keeping constant pressure on those elites who would want to rule us, it cost them. It cost them time. It cost them money. And it puts them on the defense instead of us. Especially, it diverts their attention. Listen, folks, they are far from infallible, as you all believe, but they're nowhere near as all-powerful as they would have us believe. And we did not get here in America into the dire straits we find ourselves in today just because of Barack Hussein and Obama. He's not to blame, lately. But it took decades. It took a century. We were not nearly ruined overnight. It was a very careful, gradual, primrose path they led us down to this progress that they have us in today. But unfortunately, we don't have 100 years. We don't have the luxury of time. That only works in a fair system. To win, we not only have to go and work harder and work smarter, but we have to work in unison. We're too far gone for amateur efforts, so it's time to put aside all of these minor differences, in my opinion, and go for the core of our belief in liberty and trust that if we do win, and that still remains to be seen, there's going to be ample time for debate. There's going to be those who say that this is not an important issue and this is, or this is the way to do it and this is the there's a better way to do it. But if we continue to carp and quibble between ourselves and to cave into our fears, what's going to happen? We lose. If we fail to stand shoulder to shoulder, shield to shield in liberty's goal line stand, what happens? We lose. If we allow our brave new masters in D.C. and the state capitals to single us out on individual issues like the IRS does, like Connecticut is doing with gun owners, et cetera, without coming to their defense, we lose. If we don't grow up as a movement and start acting like adults, we lose. And in that loss, we would lose everything, all that matters. Every single individual, every single issue is lost. So I would prefer to have a long, peaceful debate about all these issues, and I'm willing to have that debate, and I'm willing to be defeated in debate, but not on those core principles. So, Bob, where do you think the next topic should go with this unity thing?
Well, we talked, one of the things I want to talk more about is the Tea Party, and it looked in 2010 where, they seemed pretty uniform, unified, seemed pretty effective. Now, some would contend, and we've covered this in the past on the show, that, with the IRS scandal and things of that nature kind of curtailed their effectiveness in 2012. Where do we see, the Tea Party, and do you see where any of the groups you're with now doing more with them, and then perhaps, that party growing up? Because we definitely need en masse, kind of like what we've seen, on the other side when they had, what was that large group that
Occupy.
They weren't very peaceful. What's that? Occupy.
Well, we do have something, Bob. We have something coming up I'm involved with as writing and editing and helping with the press aspects of it, and not the planning. I'd love to get into that, but I think they're doing a great job right now. It's the Operation American Spring, May 16th of this year in Washington, D.C. We want to have 10 million people, and it's nonpartisan. We don't care about if you're Democrat or Republican. and it's entirely peaceful. It's being organized extremely well to make certain that everybody is fed and clothed and sheltered, and we share our provisions and all the rest of that good stuff. So the Occupy people are welcome to come as long as they don't do anything funny to cop cars, you know, use the restroom
right.
for that. But of the 10 million we want, right now there's over 3 million confirmed. These are people who have made plans, people who have reservations, people who are getting their RVs ready, people who are, you know, getting buses ready to roll, who are signing contracts for this. We have medical people. We put out a call today for communications people so that we'll have a backup, amateur radio operators. We want to have not only 10 million one time, but we want to have a constant steady pressure of a million people in the suburbs and outskirts of Washington, D.C., who come into the city, commute into the city every single day, and the demands are very simple, and it's not partisan. We want the top leadership to resign because they're failures and they won't do their job. That's not just the president and the vice president, but that's Harry Reid, who's a Democrat, and it's John Boehner and Mitch McConnell, mm-hmm. who are Republicans. The entire top leadership has failed us, and we are demanding that they go. Now, if people want to show up, I can guarantee you, you're going to see fellows who look like Steve, who's cool. He's a bit of a hipster. He's a young fella. You were going to see people like Dean, who are very serious business people, you know, and they're very... I won't say you're buttoned down, Dean, because you're pretty cool too. But you know, but serious conservatives,
there.
And there's going to be bikers there. I know that
mm-hmm.
who are pretty scary looking, but have good hearts. And we've got lots and lots and lots of veterans. And if you know veterans, just because they served under a common cause doesn't mean that they're not individuals, and they run the gamut. As far as what they're into in their lives. But we're coming together for this. So, Steve, we haven't heard from you for a while. What are your thoughts?
I'm still here. Well, to be honest, in the beginning when I first heard about this, I was a little hesitant. But then I started doing a little more research, and people kept on pressuring me, Steve, you know, you got to hop on board with this. After doing some more research, I actually think it's a great idea because – recently, I've come to realize in, you know, the political climate that we're in, we need to do something like this. We need the conservative, or let's not even call it conservative. Let's call it the liberty, the patriot, the movement that we all can come together as Americans, not parties, Republicans and Democrats, just like you said. I think it's a great idea. I really do. I'm going to try to organize. You know what, Dan? I'm going to talk to you sometime soon. I don't know if there's any buses coming out from your area, or maybe we can work together and getting some buses from southeast Pennsylvania, but I think it's a good idea. It seems like it's more like a mass civil disobedience. I believe that's what we need right now. We need a peaceful action. We need to take peaceful actions, just like, for example, a peaceful action, civil disobedience. Rosa Parks, she took a peaceful action. She didn't sit, you know, She said no. You know, she just wanted to sit down in the front of the bus. That's what we need to do. We just need to say no, and no is a powerful concept. We're not just going to beg to the politicians. We're going to take action in a peaceful way, of course, because that's what kind of people we are.
And you know what?
It's great. I think it's great.
We're not necessarily, as you said, you're not a Tea Party group. And Campaign for Liberty, while they're very well associated with other Tea Party groups, they're not a Tea Party group. And the 912 group is not a Tea Party group. I reject any of these labels that the other side wants to put on us when they talk about us in the mainstream media. I reject when they call Sarah Palin, who I'm not endorsing her for any office. She's not running for office. But when they call her a stupid woman when she was a successful businessman, a businesswoman, a successful mayor, a successful governor, and apparently a heck of a lot better at foreign policy up in Alaska than our own president when she predicted what would happen in the Ukraine
right.
to a T. You know, enough with these labels. By the way, I'll be coming back from Operation American Spring, which is on a Friday, for a rally Monday, May 19th. That's the day I'm co-sponsoring a rally with a good friend of Steve's and mine, and Dean, you've met him too, Johan. in Harrisburg with the idea of presenting our grievances. Not everyone can make it to Washington, so every state capital and every major population area should be having something going on as much as possible this spring and this summer to put pressure on these lawmakers and let them know that we're not about to accept them just running roughshod over our rights. May 20th, the day after our rally, primary here in Pennsylvania. So we're really trying to get out the vote, unify, put your minor differences aside, pick the candidate that's for liberty. If they agree with you on 100%, Hosanna, you're incredibly lucky. I don't know of a single candidate for any office, including some very, very good men and women who I think are great, but I don't know a single one that I agree lockstep with every single thing that they have as a view. I do know that they're willing to listen to me. I do know that they're willing to think about these things and honestly change their mind if they're presented with evidence. And I do know that if they're for liberty, I will help them. What are your thoughts, Dean?
Dean, for you, Sean, I mean, I just want to, speaking of, you know, candidates and primaries and things of that nature, Pennsylvania, just want to, for those who have not already heard the interview with Bob Guzzardi that we did, who's running in the primary for governor there in Pennsylvania. He was on last week, so if folks want to check that interview out. There was some technical difficulties about an hour and a half into the show, but I believe we did get his interview in its entirety, so definitely check that out and hear what he's got to say. Go ahead, Dean.
Well, and we've included that in our meetings as well. We've invited Liberty candidates in. You know, being a nonpartisan group, we should not be electioneering, but damn, it's tempting. And, you know, what other choices do we have? So to be fair and balanced, what we've done with our next meeting, as well as David Baldinger coming in and speaking on the property tax issue, then we're going to hear from our new legislative district candidates. We've invited all the Republicans and the Democrat candidates. We believe most of them are showing up. And so, once again, it's a way to unify the community, you know, not separate the R's from the D's, and, you know, try to bring people together in that regard as well. And they know there's an open invitation anytime for politicians to show up, and, you know, we may give them a minute or two at the mic, we may not, but that's our choice and something that we've included in our meetings as of late.
Well, the one good thing about that is that they get an opportunity to present their views to ordinary people, and those ordinary people get a chance to actually express their views and be listened to. Because, look, we've all written letters. We've all sent emails. We've all signed petitions. Some of us have made phone calls or visited people's offices and talked to the legislative assistants. And you get the feeling that even though they're nodding and, you know, really earnestly and writing everything down, that they're not really paying a heck of a lot of attention. Well, they do pay attention, and they do look at numbers, because the most important number to any politician, whether they're in it for themselves or they're in it for the greater good of the community, is numbers. It's who cares enough to actually show up and vote. Who cares enough to donate that $5, that $200? Who cares enough to actually convince their neighbors and get people to the polls to make those phone calls? That's who wins elections. And I'll tell you, I have roots on the progressive side. I've convinced an awful lot of progressives over the years, since it took me a long time to get here, but it doesn't take me a long time to show progressives, and they're ready now. So I'm converting, you know, union stewards to constitutionalism. It's awesome. But I keep in contact with them, and I look at their rallies and the level of enthusiasm, which was very high in the 70s and really good in the 80s when they were starting to get some real traction. In the 90s, nobody cared. Nobody shows up. We have rallies that the press won't cover on various issues where we'll have 50, 100, 150, 200 people in the middle of winter in freezing cold weather, and we may get a news camera that will show a couple of people before the event on the standing on the fringe of the group having a conversation and makes it look like we had a no turnout. The progressives will do a well-publicized event or rally, and they'll get five people total, and you watch the news media do a low-angle fisheye lens that makes it look like, oh, my gosh, there's a lot of people until you start counting them. And you, the enthusiasm is on our side. When I say our, I don't mean Republican. I don't mean conservative. I don't mean libertarian. I don't mean Paulite, or I know that you support Newt, Bob, or any other particular ism except constitutionalism. We want this government back to reasonable limits that take away this power to do whatever they want to do. And we want them to stop wasting our money. So,
yeah, how about a balanced budget? Just a balanced budget.
Oh, my God. What a radical concept,
Bob. Can we keep the middle
there? Right. Good. Was that Dean?
Yeah, go ahead, someone.
I thought that was Dean who was chiming in.
Yeah, it is. I mean, yeah, let's just meet in the middle. I mean, just common sense. We do it in our homes. We do it in our businesses, our families. You know, we set budgets. We have to live within those restraints. You know, I know this is a big issue for Steve. How about the Fed? Why can't we audit the Fed? I have been audited, my business and me personally, have been audited 3 times in 3 years. The Fed is 100 years old, and they haven't opened their books more than 5 minutes, and we found out that they were lying to us about giving money to foreign nationals and banks. You know, what is the problem here? You talk about
Steve, you want to comment on that?
A unifying issue. Audit the Fed is a unifying issue.
Yes,
see,
it
the
is.
Problem is I believe they don't want us to know, you know. They don't want us to rise up against them in any kind of way. You know, Ron Paul, even Rand Paul, Campaign for Liberty, even my group, we pushed issues on auditing the Fed. And, you know, I've been to numerous Philadelphia is notorious, you know, because we have a Federal Reserve Bank in Philadelphia. We are notorious for having huge rallies right outside of the Federal Reserve building. We even had Ron Paul down there 1 year. And it's just amazing. I met up with a former – I think he was an analyst or somebody that worked for the Federal Reserve, and I asked him, why isn't there an audit? And, you know, he had the audacity to say, he looked at me and said, oh, we always have internal audits. I guess they just don't get it. If they knew, right, if they knew that the American people would find out what they're doing, you know, behind the scenes, I think there would be like a rebellion by tomorrow morning. That's the problem. You know, we talk about fiscal responsibility. We have candidates running for office, you know, for president, Republican and Democrat, that say they want to eliminate, what, $10 billion over the next, what, 10 years. But then we have Ron Paul that says, well, you know what, we have to look at the root cause or one of the branches of evil, and one of the branches of evil is the Federal Reserve. For example, our dollar is worth $1 in 1913. Now our dollar is worth 4 cents. You know, it's just amazing, and I think we need to come together on the debt. That's a key thing. That's something that everybody, it can affect. You know, well, obviously you have people, I don't want to throw out names out, but there's a few people I have in my family from Ohio. I hope they're listening. How you doing? But they said, well, you know what? It doesn't affect me, so why should I care? That's another thing. Mm-hmm. But if it affects you financially, then that's something to care about. You know, the national debt, for example, I think, what is it? Don't quote me on this. I'm going to say $1 billion. We're giving $1 billion in aid to the Ukraine ever since this incident happened. Like, it's amazing. And we're giving money to all these other countries. I call it, you know, welfare, basically. We're a rich country giving money to to rich people in poor countries. It's absolutely pathetic.
We're not necessarily a rich country anymore. What we've been is spending on credit cards. We've been living high on the hog based on what our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents built. They built it, and we've been borrowing against it. We don't own this country anymore. And as far as it affecting people, hey, anybody out there, unless you're one of the really lucky ones who happens to have a really good position and you're making money and being able to put money aside, tell me that your investments are secure. Tell me what your utility bills look like. that are necessarily skyrocketing. Tell me what your food bill looks like. Do you know they don't even count the food and energy costs in the inflationary index anymore? Any more than they count the people who have supposedly voluntarily left the workforce in the unemployment
right.
statistics anymore. We can't trust anything that these people tell us. And they're not spending the money on something like, you know, a world war against fascism. They're not spending it on a Manhattan Project. They're not spending it to, I mean, nobody is going to argue when a giant natural disaster strikes or there's some genuine emergency. But they're spending it on bread and circuses and on day-to-day living for people who would be better off. And quite frankly, I don't think there's as many lazy people as most people think. I work at unemployment. I've been dealing with this for years. There's always a core of grifters who are willing to do whatever little, you know, paperwork tricks it takes to, they learn the rules and they manipulate the rules so they can sit on their couch most of the year. It's a very small percent. And there are those who are willing to take it and don't mind a little break between jobs and before they start looking. But most people, look, unemployment doesn't, and Pennsylvania is one of the most generous states around. We don't pay anywhere near what you can make working. And it's a terrible, terrible existence to sit there with not enough money to pay your bills and no extra money to do anything in the life that you ever would want to do. You can't, now I'm not even talking about just going out for a meal or anything. You can't invest in any kind of business. You can't invest in new clothing or, that you need for your business or equipment. You can't invest in fixing up your vehicle, much less getting a new vehicle, or fixing your house, which may have problems, especially after a horrible winter like we've had, a lot of roofing problems and things like that, drainage problems. So it is affecting people, and what in ordinary times would be a boring subject that no one would care about, the national debt, is something that's very real to people right now. Again, mm-hmm. unless you're one of the real lucky ones, you know what a budget is. You know what it's like to have to live within your means. You know what it's like to do without things that you'd really like, and worse, to not give your children what you'd really like to give
right.
them because you don't have the money to do it, whether it's an educational opportunity or sports equipment or extra classes in something that matters to them that could help enrich their lives. These things
mm-hmm.
cost money. If you don't have that money, you can't do it. The thing that we've got to make clear to people is that if you want prosperity again, it doesn't come from government rules, from academic experts who claim to know better and make things worse. People like Dean create prosperity. Dean, how many employees do you have, 24?
Yes, 24, 25. It fluctuates a little bit. But
okay, well, you've created a value, a service that, and you can tell folks about it briefly, but that is a benefit that makes it worth people spending money in your company, and you take that money, and you're not just socking it away. I know you don't drive a Maserati or anything like that. You don't live in a mansion. Mm-hmm. You're hiring people, and I've spoken to some of your employees, and they didn't say bad things about you. They didn't know me from Adam, and they're pretty happy with the work, the way you treat them, and with their salaries, which gives them an opportunity to do what they want with their lives.
Well, yes, we have. We didn't qualify for certain benefits or tax benefits with Obamacare this year because the average PROAC, that's the name of my company, the PROAC Corporation, the average employee of my company makes over $50,000 a year. In fact, with benefit package and salary, it's actually over $60,000 a year. So, I mean, they're not getting rich, but this is certainly a living wage. And we're proud. My wife and I are very proud of that fact. I can tell you, though, Obamacare, I'm up to my eyeballs. I can't afford it anymore, Dan, Bob, Steve. I've had to tell my employees that is it. I've reached the limit. I can no longer pay more, higher premium for your health care benefits. I have paid every employee's health care benefit up until this year, but as the price goes up, and our price went up 25%, and it only went up 25% because we renewed early in December 1st, it'll go up another 25% this next year, I'm being told.
And you know,
so,
Dean,
it's ridiculous.
Dean, you don't have the option of simply writing a check against future generations. What's more, you're not irresponsible enough to ever even think of doing that. A businessman balances their books. They pay their way. And the fact that here you are paying a very decent wage, that's not just a living wage, that's a decent wage in today's society. That pays your way to these guys who work really, really hard for you and do a great job. And now their health, which is key to not only doing their jobs but to taking care of their families, just to living, is all dependent on some appointed, unelected government panels of alleged experts who are going to decide whether you can have this procedure or you can't have this procedure, whether it's worth it to us or not. And if anyone out there thinks that they're not going to target people and favor people, I suggest you look at the past Democratic and Republican administrations, not only in Washington, but in your own states, and look at how the people who are friends and who are close to those in power always seem to get richer when their friends are in power, and
right.
how people who are opposed to them, even honest, decent, law-abiding people who just have a political difference, somehow manage not only to get left out, but they're targeted. I mean, how many, what is that, 3 audits in 3 years? What the heck
three
are
audits.
They, you know what, come on.
I can't prove it, Dan, but I know I'm a target. Number one, I'm a target because I'm a small business owner, okay? Let's face it, most small business owners are not liberals, they're conservatives. I know I use the terms, I'm sorry, but they also know how much I contributed to the Tea Party campaigns in 2010. They know who I gave money to, and they know how much I gave money to, whether it was Ted Cruz or Rand Paul or a number of other fellows, Ron Paul. They know. It's at the tip of their fingers. They can look it up within minutes. So they know who I am. They know me as a bad guy in their point of view, and the IRS, Stasi, just increased their ranks by 16,000 new federal union employees. I know they're full of it because that first audit, that first phone call from the Nazi in Reading told me he was my friendly neighborhood IRS agent. Okay, all well and good. What did I do? I wanted to know. What did I do wrong? Nothing. Don't worry. This is just routine. This is a training program for all the new IRS agents because of Obamacare. Well, I want to tell you, 3 visits over 6 months, they crawled up my rear end as far as you can go, and it was not a cursory audit. It was a full-blown audit, and after they figured out that they were going to owe me $3,600, they turned to me personally. They wanted to know what they could go after there. They got $300 out of me. This past year...
That's ridiculous.
Talk about getting a colonoscopy from Obamacare.
Absolutely. and you know what? The more I explain this to people and share this on Facebook and other media, it's happening to many people.
Well, I know one thing. If they were to audit you, Steve, I know that what would happen is you would have 400 people at the home of the auditor with signs cheerfully and bullhorns. And
well, that's the thing. You know, I got a lot of supportive people out there. The politicians in our area, they actually fear us, but they actually respect us too because we have the boots on the ground. You know, it's not just about me. There's a bigger cause out there. And the good thing is, at least in our southeast area with me, you, and Dean, we all can come together, and it's great. God forbid. They don't want to audit me.
Well,
no, I'll tell you what.
I do see that.
I love what Steve just said.
Hold on, guys. I'm gonna break in here. We will bring you back in. But it is the top of the hour, and at the top of the hour, I did tell folks that I will start to bring in the panelists and then also bring in folks from the audience. And if you're out there listening and you'd like to chime in and join our roundtable discussion, you can call us here at 347-945-7428. That's 347-945-7428. But at this time, I do want to bring in one of our panelists here, who's also the founder of Overpasses for America, and that is James Neighbors. Thank you very much, James, for calling to the show. How are you?
Oh, how are you doing, Robert? I'm doing all right.
Great. It's great to see you back on the show.
Yeah, it's good to be back. It's been an interesting couple of weeks I've had here. It's what can you do? You
know, how's your neck doing there? You feeling better?
Yeah, the last week has been a lot better. I don't know what was going on the last few weeks. Hopefully it's gone away for good, but we shall see. Today, it's in the last few days, it really hasn't bothered me at all. So, you know, bonus.
That's great.
Yeah,
awesome.
But, go ahead, Robert.
No, I was just going to say, you know, they're talking about going down to D.C., you know, in May. I think it was like May 16th. And I thought it would be a good idea to, you know, let's discuss that. And perhaps there could be some kind of working together with Overpasses for America, you know, on maybe the main routes for folks going down there. What do you think?
Well, that's actually one of the things we're planning on doing. Of course, you know, we're also going to have a very large contingent in Washington, D.C. on that day. Our plan is to load up all 44 overpasses on the Beltway and bring that city to a stop.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, yeah, there are no permits necessary. How convenient.
Jim does not need a permit.
Yep, no permits necessary to rally on the pedestrian overpasses or any of the sidewalks on the Beltway. And we've got people coming in from basically all corners of the country. Alaska and Hawaii, of course, they're kind of far away, so I'm not sure if we're going to have very many from there. But you know, we're actually looking at having a pretty large number out there. We should be able to. I know the closer we get to it, the more excitement there's going to be for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we also found out some, you know, some interesting apps on cell phones that basically works like those Next cell phones where you go bleep, bleep, and then you could talk to like 600 people at once. And so we're going to be using that for, to mass communicate while we're out there. Just so we can get everybody, you know, coordinated at the same time. And, you know, I mean, our basic plan is just, you know, we're going to start out the morning on the overpasses around the Beltway and, of course, from coast to coast and up to Alaska and Hawaii across the country on the 16th. And then during lunchtime in D.C., we're going to go out in front of the House of Legislators and for about 3 hours, and then we'll, for the evening rush hour, we'll go reconvene back out to the overpasses, and we're basically going to be kind of be the perimeter guard for all of those that are going to be masked inside. I've got Colonel Riley's, you know, personal cell number, and if anything looks like it's going to go down, we will be sure to let him know.
You know, one of the great things is, while you'll have the communications, and I know you keep people who are close by who have video equipment, you know, or even if it's just a cell phone, just in case the police decide that you do need a permit, even though the law says no. The best part is that when you put those banners out there, you don't have to go down on the highway and take a picture. There are going to be so many viral videos of people driving in, cheering, when they see all the messages that you guys are going to drape over the sides of those overpasses. It's just awesome. I'm so pleased that you're doing this.
Well, thank you. You know, it really is one of the things that, you know, I mean, it would tickle me pink to see one of these hardcore progressives actually come out to one of our rallies and actually just sit there and observe. Don't say anything. Just watch and look at the crowd interaction we get so they could see in reality just how despised they actually are by the average American, at least the ones that have a job and a car.
Let me tell you something about progressives. And this goes back, if you remember, some of you are old enough, and some of you, like Steve, you weren't even born back in the day when there were honest Republicans and honest Democrats who were not progressives, who would agree on necessary issues and take care of the nation's business and the state's business and the county's businesses, and disagree on other issues, but do it in a respectful manner in an open debate. The progressive leadership are not progressives. They want to be kings. They are elitists. The average progressive person out there is somebody who just doesn't understand because they've heard all this rhetoric. And the rhetoric sounds good. Let's face it. In 2008, when Obama was campaigning, had he actually done the things that he promised, had he been telling the truth, it sounded great. I mean, openness, most open administration in history, and closed Guantanamo, and, you know, referred to the Congress for any kind of war actions, and make sure we have good cause for those things, you know, on and on, reform the tax code and cut the deficit, cut the debt. Of course, he was lying. The leadership of the progressives, and they are Republicans as well as Democrats, and
no,
big
absolutely.
Businessmen, but not small businessmen and not individuals for the most part, they're liars. And they don't even believe their own stuff. They don't act that way. But I will argue with progressives in a respectful manner when they're average people and boil it down to basics. And in almost all cases, in a very short time, we find common ground. They want to keep their rights. They don't believe the government has the solutions. But they have this idea of a utopia. They believe in the perfectibility of people, that these disinterested experts in government and academia can somehow come along and come up with a new rule that will save everything. Well, let's face it, rules don't save everything. You can't have just the government armed with guns, because criminals don't obey that, and the government will then be comprised of people who act like criminals because nobody will stop them, and the criminals will take over that enterprise as they always do. The vast majority of people who drive cars, who own guns, who own knives, don't run people over, shoot them, or stab them. The vast majority of small businessmen are not rapacious greedmeisters who sit there ripping off everybody and, you know, putting the worker down. Dean pays $60,000 a year to these people. That is not putting anybody down. And it's a safety business. So, you know, I know these guys are safe because it's about safety. So if the progressives want to come out, I would ask them to do more than just, and they're welcome. At any of these events that if you go on Facebook, you can find me, you see any of the event I'm at, come, meet, listen, and speak with me. And I will listen to you. And if you can show me why I'm wrong, I'll change my mind. But only if you're willing to do the same for me. Because believe me, I can show you why you've been incorrect. It doesn't make you a bad person. We've all made mistakes in the past. We all used to believe as children in Santa Claus and all kinds of other really nice things that just aren't real. So, Bob, did you want to continue, bring someone else on perhaps? Or?
Actually, I'm getting ready to. I was going to bring in our second panelist here, our conservative activist there in Florida, and that's Cindy Todd. Thank you very much, Cindy, for calling to the show. How are you? We got you, Cindy.
Oh, she's got to be on. We need Cindy.
Yeah, she's out there. I see her, and then perhaps we've got something there on the show.
Yeah, it must be a bad connection.
Okay. All right,
oh,
we're
yeah,
here.
You are.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You gave us a scare, Cindy.
I'm just talking away.
she was talking with the
y'all
meat
are
on.
Doing... yeah. You guys are doing such an awesome job tonight. Everything that you're saying is so important, and I'm glad to see a lot of people in chat having a listen, and I hope that a lot of people will pass this around, you know, pass this link around so that people can listen and archive, because it's an extremely important thing that we're doing here. Now, the issue is mostly, I think what we've been talking about is unity. And I liked what, oh gosh, I forget which one of y'all said it. You said it was too late for amateur solutions.
I even wrote that down. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That is the key right here. It's time. Now, I got to say something, but let me qualify this first. I don't want to see all the Patriot groups unite under one roof. United Way did that, and the whole group just got co-opted. They now have leadership that won't support the Boy Scouts because they don't allow gays in there and everything, and you just get a total, you know, you can get the wrong leadership, and then the whole group just goes the wrong way. But there does need to be a way to, there needs to be a central organization, sort of that, not a central organization, because that just dissolves all the others, and then in the process, you need a way to network and communicate so that we're not duplicating the work. And we need to, what one person is doing that's been very successful needs to get, that strategy needs to get to all the groups who can possibly use it. It would even help get the word around all about the different conservative parties. There's more than just the Republican Party that has conservatives in it. And so there needs to be communication between the parties also. And you can get that if the libertarian organizations are on the same website.
Let me just tell you, Cindy, we have near where I live, halfway between me and Dean. Dean and I are maybe 30 miles apart here in Pennsylvania. Is a little town where they have elected in an open election a guy who is an open libertarian. He said, "I'm a libertarian." He was on the ballot, libertarian. All the people chose him because he's saying what people want to hear, and he means it, which is that they're talking about what is our government doing that is what they're supposed to be doing, and let's skip all the rest of it. And while we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, let's make sure that we're paying things properly. Dean, as sorry, Cindy, but he's the expert on this one. Mm-hmm. You're familiar with engineering and municipal studies because you do remediation. Are you aware that in most areas of Pennsylvania and most states, all of the engineering that's done for townships, for boroughs, for municipalities is done with closed bid, and it all goes to one of three major companies, and he's going to end that. It's going to be open bids.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was not aware of that, Dan. Are you talking for engineering services?
Yeah, the engineering services that are required by mandated law, even though they may not be required by the area. These people are kept on a permanent retainer, and they manage to kick back to most of these local politicians by giving them tickets and freebies and meals and all kinds of nice things. And year after year after year, the taxpayer pays for services that aren't even being used, and it's never open to bidding. This is typical.
Well, let me tell you what we can do, though. What we need to have is a website that's like a clearinghouse. All the different radio programs, blogs, websites, all the different events going on. I bet I get 20 different emails, 20 different organizations email me about different issues. If all of those were on the same website, at least they had a page on this website, and there was individual news for each one, and they had like their action bulletins and their action buttons and what to do, and then you had your news blips about what was going on in different areas, and then you could even have a page for exposing graphs like what you were just explaining, an expose. Okay. Even maybe make an app for a phone that would connect in with it too. And then you would have like five different regional conventions. One for a convention for each region that brings all these people together, and they get amped up with some really good speakers, and you have a voice. We can have a link to a voice in the Senate, like you can get a senator to agree to be the voice of what's going on in the Senate, what bills are he needs to be passed, what he wants his constituents to call, you know, who.
But you know, Cindy,
this is
really a good idea. What I'm going to do in brief, and then I'll let you continue, is just to ask our listeners out there, since we seem to have an awful lot of listeners tonight, is there's some people out there who have talents and skills that I don't necessarily have and that none of our panelists necessarily have, but that you have. Whether you're a speaker and a writer or whether you're an organizer, some of you are computer people. Some of you are techno savants. That's what we need for this effort. And any of you who happen to have deep pockets, if the Koch brothers or anybody else is listening, any of those big Hollywood stars who are on our side, those five regional conferences, that's going to take a couple $1 million apiece,
mm-hmm.
which is chump change to a billionaire. You can afford it. Just think about your future. You know, you'd like to have your grandkids have a chance to keep and earn what they earn, or what they make.
Right.
So,
I couldn't agree more. Like that, for the past year, I've been hearing the same thing. You know, that's the vibe that I've been hearing in the Pennsylvania area. Listen, there's so many events, there's so many things that we want to do, or sometimes we just get flooded with emails. Imagine there is just one site focused on a specific region,
and one,
like
and
it's
one
fantastic.
And
that
one
is a great
calendar.
Idea.
And you could, you know, one calendar might have, you know, you'd have pages instead of just a calendar. You'd have a page for each date so that you could show all the different things that are happening so that everybody in their own region can get to, you know, see what's going on in their area of the country.
Yeah,
see,
right now
you would
what
have
we're doing.
Like, then you'd have, like, expose things like Obama is trying to use his pen and his phone to stall the implementation of the health care plan so that people don't notice that their plans are getting canceled. But if we can also show them that it doesn't matter whether he has stalled it or not, there are still things that have been implemented in the health care law that are going to cause your health insurance payments to go up. It doesn't matter that he hasn't implemented it fully yet, because you're still going to feel that, but people won't understand why they're feeling it. They'll say, okay, it's my horrible insurance company. They're the ones that are trying to be there. My insurance company is horrible. But the problem is the insurance company is being forced by other parts of that 2,000-and-something page law that are forcing them to cover certain things that they didn't normally cover before. So in order to cover those expenses, they have to raise the premium. Okay?
Now,
so
as far as Obamacare and the insurance companies, there was a movement in Germany in the 20s when the Weimar Republic was in charge and it was chaos after World War I. They were dead broke. Inflation was at such a high percent that you couldn't afford to live. There was violence in the streets. And the large corporations and the small businessman and the average person, they wanted peace and quiet. They wanted law and order. And these aren't bad things to have. So they made a deal with the devil, because the National Socialists, the Nazis, promised them that they would clean up all this disorder and they would unify everybody in one direction, which was going to improve Germany. Now, if it had been somebody who was not a psychopath, if the movement wasn't warped, twisted, and murderous, it would have worked well for a while. And then somebody warped, twisted, and murderous would have gotten in charge, because when you have that large organization, like Cindy was saying, where it's all under one umbrella, that's too tempting for somebody who wants power. They're going to find a way to the top of that organization. And when they're at the top, look, why does the president have power? Because we invest power in them. We have a president right now who's doing things that a whole lot of people don't like, And yet, when he gives an order, and he's just a man giving an order, I can give an order, you can give an order, nobody follows him unless they want to. When it's the president, they feel they have a duty to follow him, to do what he says. Well, the idea of unification is not to be mistaken for the idea of one monolithic system, because if we replace
right.
one tyranny with another system,
exactly.
it's going to end up being a tyranny. Had George Washington agreed one of those three times he was offered the monarchy of America to be the king, had he agreed, I have no doubt that during his tenure as king and during his lifetime, it would have been much the same as it actually was. He was a very honorable man. He really wouldn't have allowed anything dishonorable. But sooner or later, we all pass on. And when he dies, the king, you get another king. And sooner or later, you're going to get a bad one just from inheritance. And even if that doesn't happen, you look at the monarchy in Europe. Look at England, for instance. And you have people like Richard III, who was not just physically twisted, but who was morally twisted. He was an evil guy. And he murdered the heir so that he could call himself the heir, and ended up with a giant civil war that, you know, there was a lot of suffering that was needless that we can avoid. Everything we're talking about here, folks, is peaceful solutions. And this
right.
unity is incredibly important, but we have to remember what happens if we fail, because it's real close. If we lose, okay, and the choice is quite clear. If we lose, there won't be any more debate. If we lose, there won't be any fair history. There won't be any decent education. There won't be any prosperity. What we'll have is a very few who have everything, and the rest of us take what we're given, and we like it, because if we don't and if we speak out, they'll put their boot on our neck. For me, the choice is quite clear. There is no choice for me. I'm not going to bow my knee to any man. God's the only one that I bow my knee to. I'm not living as a slave, but that's more not as important as I'm not going to allow my children to live as a slave. And I know our listeners out there feel the same way. None of us are anxious. I'm in touch with the militia movements. There are a few real gung-ho people, you know, blood and guts, people who are very good warriors and aren't afraid of putting their lives on the line. But every one of them is praying that they never have to. They think we're going to. I think there's a real good chance we might have to if we fail. This is our chance right now to do these practical things and come together in unity to win now, because if we do these things, if we unite, we can win. We must win, and we will. But what cost do we want to have to pay for it? So those people out there who are listening and going, yeah, those are great ideas these people have. What a nice thought. Get off your behinds. Start doing something. There are some computer sites right now. You can go to Facebook. You'll find them. You can go to FreedomWorks. They have a list of various patriot groups that have listed themselves on the website. You can go to Heritage. You can go to any number of places and look for their affiliates. I guarantee you it will not take you more than an hour or two to find a number of local groups. And then you can do what Dean and Steve and I have done, and I'm sure that Cindy has done this and James, which is check these groups out. Go there. Find the one where they're not only saying the things that you can believe in, that you can agree with, but where you feel at home. It may be one group. It may be another. It may be all of them. But one of them is where you're going to spend your time. And when they ask you to be involved in a specific action, whether it's making phone calls, whether it's, you know, raising money, whether it's going and getting signatures to put a candidate on the ballot, whatever it might be, going to protest, do it. Don't make excuses. Don't say, oh, geez, you know, I'm going to miss my television show. We don't care. Seriously, tape it. Don't tell us, well, my kid's in the Little League. Great, that's wonderful. If you miss this one, pick another one. Go and do things. I'm sorry, I get a little carried away.
Not to say, but it is about the bottom of the hour, and we do have some callers who'd like to chime in. And the one I'm going to bring in now in a few moments here is Cottrell calling in. But anyone else who'd like to call in during the live portion of the show, you can chime in at 347-945-7428. That's 347-945-7428. And just to let those who are new to the show, let them know that in a half an hour, at the top of the next hour, we will not be live any longer, and we will go into what we call the extended version here of the show, which will be recorded and be part of the archive. But if you'd like to chime in or at least listen into that part of the show at the top of the hour, you must call in order to listen or be a part of that. So do so if you want to listen or chime in within the next half hour for that at the call-in number 347-945-7428. So at this time, I'll bring in Cottrell. Thank you very much for staying on the line. How are you? Cottrell, your mic is open.
Are you there, Cottrell?
Another muted case, baby.
Let's blame this on the NSA. They might have shut down his cell phone because he must have something very important to say.
You should have heard last week, Steve, when Bob Gazzardi was on the show, and it was the most bizarre thing where we lost audio, and then we lost the host, and we just sort of muddled along and tried to do the best we could. I think we did okay, and that's the feedback I'm getting.
You guys. We were hearing you guys. It's just that Robert couldn't get on with you.
Weird,
right.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it's weird.
An hour and a half of the show didn't make it to the archives, unfortunately.
Well, can I say one more time?
Speaking about Bob Gazzardi,
Bob Gazzardi's a
really good guy. He's a fiscal conservative. For those of you that don't know, I'm sure you learned last week, he's running against a Republican incumbent, Tom Corbett in Pennsylvania. I'm unaware of anybody else that's running in the Republican Party against Tom. I may not agree with Bob entirely, but we can all unite on a common front. I'm actually working with Bob on Friday. We're having a signature party for both of our elections. So, it's great. He needs a voice, too. So if anybody's in Pennsylvania, help Bob out. You know, we believe in competition, and there should be a choice in the Republican Party. So with that being said.
Definitely.
What I can say about Bob Gazzardi that in very brief is he's concerned about the forgotten taxpayer. We're paying the bill for all this waste. What he wants to do is trim government power and spending. And I know that there's things that you and I will agree on or disagree on, same with Bob. However, when it comes down to it, isn't that the bottom line? Increase liberty of the human being to make their own choices and do what they want to do with their lives by letting them keep what they earn and not confiscating it for all these pie-in-the-sky programs that never work anyway. I mean, has the war on drugs worked? Has the war on poverty worked? Have our, in Pennsylvania, our state liquor stores, do they do a great job? No, I don't think so. Steve, why don't you tell our listeners, by the way, what you are running for?
Well, I just decided this a few weeks ago. I really wasn't sure, but, hey, I felt like I needed to do something. I'm the kind of guy that likes to take action. What I'm running for is called State Committee in Pennsylvania. It's under the Republican Party. It's a position with the party. And you know how everybody goes and votes, and you have the Democrats on the left and the Republicans on the right, and they each give you a sample ballot and say, please vote for this guy. These are our endorsed candidates. Well, guess what? If I win this election, which might I add, I'm actually running in the entire county of Montgomery County, so I can have a chance to get somebody good elected to actually have a voice in the Republican Party for, you know, liberty candidates. I have the option to say, you know what, this guy's great, this guy's wrong for our county. So that's one good thing. It's a very influential position, and in Montgomery County, it just seems like it's all the same. They all vote the same way. These people that pick, for example, governor or state representatives and say this is our endorsed candidate. Well, guess what? I'm trying to bring a fresh new perspective to Montgomery County, which is right outside of Philadelphia. And we got to have a voice. We got to have a voice for the Constitution. So I figured, you know what? If I win, that's great, but it doesn't matter. If I lose, at least I will do it honestly. At least I will reach hundreds of thousands of people and try to reach more people and educate them to what's going on. So
I'd like
exactly
to remind I'd like to remind the listeners or teach them a little bit. This is real brief about politics. I hear people of all political backgrounds complaining about the choices they have in November. They're holding their noses and saying, why do I have to choose between stinker D and stinker R? They're both stinkers. I don't like either one of them. Well, the solution is you have to get involved on a precinct level. There's something called Precinct Project. You can look that up. They're nonpartisan. There's something called American Majority. They consider themselves conservative, but they are open to candidates from any party, from any political background. And we're talking about the way that progressives actually took over the Democratic Party, which used to be a fair, decent party in this country and could be again. What it means is doing what Steve is doing, getting on those local county commissions, getting in the inner workings of the party and influencing it. The people that are endorsed in the primaries and win are the people who run in November. So if you don't vote in the primary, don't complain in November about your choices. And if you don't get involved in the local party committee, either party, you pick, then don't complain about the fact that there's nobody running in the primary that has any chance. The reason they don't have any chance is because you're not getting behind them. If you like one of the candidates, if you agree with what they're saying, if you think that they're going to do a fair and honest job for you, get behind them early and hold their feet to the fire. There's no political candidate out there who deserves unquestioning obedience or loyalty. Steve is going to remain my friend, but if he gets elected, even though I'm not in his county, and I'm confident he'd do a great job. But
and you know
I'm
what?
Going to be
if
asking him hard
job,
questions.
I want to hear it. I want to hear it. That's the thing. You know, it's all about being responsible, being honest. You know, I have my views, but guess what? I'm not going to shut somebody down just because they think differently from me. You know, it's all about having respect for people's issues and their views. That's the thing. And we all have to get involved. We really do. You know, people complain, well, you know what? I don't want to vote for the lesser of two evils. That's how it is every election. But guess what? That's what most people do. That's what it seems like. It seems like, you know what? I'll vote for President Obama. Maybe he'll just, you know, cut off my legs. But maybe I'll vote for Mitt Romney. He'll just cut off a foot. So I guess Mitt Romney sounds better. I don't know. But the thing is, we need to get involved because liberty is local. It really is. It starts at the local level. And we could really affect a lot of change. We can.
And Cindy, you had a question. Here's how we're going to do this. Cindy, I know you had a question that you wanted to bring up and go ahead. And then we'll see if Cottrell is out there. You still out there, Cottrell?
Nothing from Cottrell. May I just give Cindy some information? Cindy, can I just give you some information? I just got a direct message from a fellow who follows your show, and he's listening. He said there's a website called Open States. That's one word, Open States with an S, .org. And he said that you should take a look at it. I'm going to bring it up right now. And if you have the computer, maybe you want to look at this. This might be something useful. Find your legislators, review their votes.
Are you on our chat?
Apparently this fellow is. I'm not. I don't know.
Well, tell him to put the tell him to put the link to the site in the chat.
Okay. Frank Dorsey, you're out there. That link that you just put in, put it on the link on the Jetter Show's chat on the Bard's Logic. And
you'll have to log in to do that.
You have to log in to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's the chat. I had to scroll down. I told you I'm not a computer guy. So, Cindy, go ahead.
Well, all I was going to say was that, you know, I know there's a lot of people that want to try to get something like this together, but somebody's got to pull it together and go to every single one of these individual sites and sell the page, you know, not sell it, but, you know, they've got to sell their need to be on that site. And then the conventions is absolutely crucial. If you don't have the conventions, you don't have the people stirred up and you don't have the momentum that you really need. The conventions give momentum. I mean, you just look, if you've ever been to one of the Republican conventions or a CPAC convention or anything like that, they do a tremendous thing in getting the people stirred up And it's a place where you can go and sign up to do things and actually become proactive. We've got to activate all these sleeping people, and you've got to activate all the people that and get them out from behind their computers and get them out on the streets and out on the phones, and they've got to get on the petitions, and they got to spread the petitions, and there's just things you have to do. And if you don't have a site where people can go and just go and click the button, action, you know, you go to the action link, and there's what you can do for your in your community and in the nation. But if you don't get everybody together and have the speakers and disseminate this information in a way that people can, because sometimes they won't go on their computer and just spend hours like we do. I mean, my husband is so up to here with me. I am on my computer for hours reading articles and articles and articles, keeping up to date and finding out what's going on. Because I am a recovering Foxaholic. It's been 1.5 years since I've watched a Fox News show. And
I don't
want to
cut you off, but I just wanted to say good for you. I used to be the same way. I killed my TV, God forbid. It's like I used to listen to MSNBC, then I found Fox. Like, thank God, there's a voice for me. But then I found out, you know, with all due respect to those viewers that love Fox, they tell you what you want to hear, but it just seemed like, you know, the mainstream media, they kind of poisoned your mind. And you're right, getting out there and actually reading stuff is a lot better than just watching the news.
They have corporate sponsors.
Absolutely. But you have to spend hours doing it. So if you have this one website where you can go and find an action page that'll tell you what to do, and then you can go to your news page, pick your favorite news page. Who has the best news? Go there. But
well, I don't know. I every morning and periodically through the day, of course, I'm checking Drudge because he seems to pick really great headlines.
Mm-hmm.
And in Pennsylvania, we have something called the Keystone Report, which is a similar model to Drudge. What it is waste, fraud, abuse, and corruption on the part of government here in Pennsylvania, along with, you know, news stories of touching public interest or of, you know, really wacky or bad crimes. But it's primarily political, and it doesn't pull punches. They look for the most honest story that is best written, that tells the most truth. And they don't care, the people who run that site, whether or not it's a Republican or a Democrat that's getting their ox gored. They're
right.
going to tell the truth about it. And I find a lot of really great information on there. And so far, I have not found one story that I wasn't able to vet as entirely correct. They're very careful, just as Drudge is. He doesn't put stuff up there that is, you know, we all see these hoax things. You know, there's Obama's ID from 1981 that proves he's a Kenyan, and it's got a barcode, which they didn't have in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. It's funny. It's a joke. It's a parody. It's not news. Getting important, serious news information, and Harriet, who I know, I see she's in the chat there, who's a regular contributor to your show.
Yeah,
Harriet is really good about doing that research and finding out, is this actually true, what they're saying, and where can you get more information?
And Dan,
you're totally right, and there's a lot of...
Well, you have to vet the truthers, too, because even the people who go on, like... and say, we know the truth, you can come to Snopes, right? No.
Oh.
You go to Snopes, and what you're going to get is a commentary on the
that's
question.
True.
You're not going to get the truth.
And you can't really trust Snopes all the time as well. I do agree, Judge is great. One of the sites that I get a lot of my information from, I'm also a John Birch Society member. Think of them as like the Tea Party of the 60s, you know. Right now they're still around, and there's a site called The New American. You know, they've been exposing for 50-plus years the globalist banking cartel and the two-party system as far as the false left-right paradigm. So that's probably one of the sites that I do get my information from.
You know what's really funny is...
And they're probably wondering, they're probably thinking, oh, they're finally getting it. They're finally catching up to us.
It's hilarious. In the...
Real quick, Dan, I'm going to interject.
Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, go ahead. We do have Harriet on
The
queue, but first, we're going to bring her in. But first, I want to bring James back in for some comments, and then after James, Harriet, we'll be opening up your mic and bringing you in. Go ahead, James.
Well, just, of course, the topic tonight was this whole basically about the problem we've got with liberty groups being unified. You know, it's one of the curses and the blessings of understanding what freedom actually is you think for yourself instead of just following, like a lemming over the cliff like the progressive public does. You think for yourself, you do research for yourself, and that, unfortunately, the unfortunate side to that is it also creates division because, people that think very often think they know how to do things better, and they may very well be able to do something better. If that's the case, they should. But one thing, that I've run across, for years really, but especially since starting Overpass, is a big problem that we have with the people that claim to be patriots. And the reason I say that is because they have that progressive mentality that's been plugged into their heads so many times, they don't even realize they have it. One good example is free speech. They'll see something that offends them, and they say, well, they shouldn't be allowed to say that. And then if you explain to them, it's like, look, the Constitution wasn't written to make everybody happy. It was written to make everybody free. Who made you the arbitrator of what another person's freedom is? And that's really the biggest problem I've seen is that people have this notion of being, judge, jury, and executioner of what another person's rights should be. And that's something that that people need to think of. Go read the Constitution and think about it. Read an amendment a day to keep tyranny away.
I think, James, we could take
a page.
I
love it.
We could take a page out of this, the average sports fan. I mean, not to say that they shouldn't stop focusing quite so much on sports right now. Let's get the politics figured out in this country, then go back to the sports. Besides, politics is the best blood sport of all. But if you'll note, when you have people, mostly guys, but there's a lot of ladies who watch football or basketball or baseball or any of these sports, they know a lot. They're not stupid. And they can give you reasons why they feel that this player or this team is going to do this following thing or did that following thing in last week's game. And they are experts in this. And they have vehement discussions, disagreements. They root for one team over another. They debate what the real meaning of this act or that act was. And except for a very few hooligans at sporting events who may have a little bit too much to drink, the rest of them have a drink together, and they share some chicken wings, and they remain friends even though one roots for Dallas, God help them, and the other roots for the Eagles. I'm sorry, Dallas fans.
Yeah, I'm a Dallas fan.
Yeah, I have a feeling a lot of Dallas fans are going to be calling up the show right now.
Well, good. We want to hear from them too.
Well, yeah, I noticed that in the Patriot movement. Ronald Reagan once said, about liberals, the trouble with our liberal friends is what? Not that they're ignorant, it's just that they know so much that isn't so. And we got a lot of so-called truthers and patriots. There's a lot of poison going out there in the mainstream media and even certain websites that claim to be, conservatives or for the patriots. We just need to sift through the truth. And we really do. There's a lot of poison going out there, and misinformation and, fear-mongering, I'd say.
I would say this, and this is something we want to be really careful about, because I'm not going to tar anybody with a specific brush without evidence. But one thing that was done to the Patriot, the progressive movement, back in the 60s by the government was infiltration and false information. They did this to the Black Panthers. They did this to Martin Luther King. They did this to various groups. Okay, that can and probably is happening to some extent now. And there are also, let's face it, some crazy people out there on all sides. There's always a few crazy people. If you hear somebody who is saying something that you don't agree with and that seems unreal, I listen to them and I ask them for evidence. And if they can provide me with evidence, I'm willing to amend my viewpoint, because after all, if you had said to the average person just 5 or 6 years ago that the government is listening to every single conversation that you have on the phone, on Facebook, on your emails, they would have said, here's some tinfoil, go make a hat. And now we know, thanks to Snowden and Manning, that it's absolutely true that that's what they're doing. It's absolutely, without debate, true. They've admitted it. Okay? So are there conspiracies?
I've got my hat.
Yeah. Well, thank you. There are conspiracies and there are crazy people. However, the real way to tell whether they're honest and sincere and on your side or not is to look at their actions. If they are somebody who just has a very strong viewpoint that may be kind of out there, they may be right or not, but if they're trying to work with others, if they're trying to be helpful, then you probably can trust them to some extent. On the other hand, if they're consistently causing dissension, hopping in the middle of things and just tearing everybody apart, those are the people to watch out for. There's not that many of them, but I'm sure if any of you are active in political discussions, just on posts, on blogs, you will see people come in, these sadists who just enjoy causing pain, and they will taunt you and they will say things that are just, you know, out there and completely untrue, and they're doing it for a purpose. Either they're nuts or they're doing it to disrupt your effectiveness. There are specific techniques that you can learn if you look up the Delphi technique. It's not just a matter of which you can find what they call consensus in a business discussion group. It's a way of marginalizing anyone who doesn't go with the preordained consensus. And there are specific ways that you can identify that it's happening. And if you see it happening, there are ways where you can make their effects very minimal or make them go away. If it doesn't work, they go away.
Okay, at this time, folks, I do have Harriet on the line, and so I'm going to be bringing Harriet in, and then we also have Jane. And so, Harriet, I'll bring in a second, and then we'll bring in Jane. But we do have about 8 minutes left of live time, and for the folks who are new to the show, at the stroke of midnight Eastern time, which will be in the next 8 minutes, it will unceremoniously drop you from the show. So if you'd like to still listen to us in the extended version, call in at 347-945-7428 and push 1 on your number dial if you'd like to chime in. That's at 347-945-7428. And then you can be a part of the extended version, which will, while not live, will be a part of the archive that folks can share later. So at this time, I will bring in Harriet. Thank you very much, Harriet. It's great to hear from you. How are you?
Oh, I'm just fine, thank you. And I love the program tonight. I'm just a sponge, just gathering it all in, and I've learned so much, and I appreciate it from all the guests and everybody that's contributed, and Dan and everyone. And I just want to say hi to Mike and Marcia, and all the new people that are online. And so whatever question you want to ask me, if I can help you out, I will.
Well, one of the things that you and I have been, you know, chatting about a little bit on air is you've got some things that you have going on that you're working on, I should say. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? Because I definitely think that it has relevance to what we're talking about tonight.
Well, I'm always on a roll. That's my life. I finish one project, and I start two more, and I drop one, and I ask. That is just me. What I'm doing is I've come to the conclusion. Dan, did you want to guide me into something?
Sure. Okay. There are 2 points. One, I'd like to congratulate you on becoming a really decent writer. And I'm pleased that you've made contact with Dr. Richard Swire, who is a Vietnam veteran and a very educated man, an excellent editor and writer who has his own website and still works as a writer for sites like Watchdog Wire Florida. And I hope that relationship works really great. When we're talking about unity, you had a specific problem with a show that you were helping out a great deal where perhaps their attitudes and their actions were a little less than unifying.
Yes. And that was a very, very difficult situation. And I just got to the point where I felt that I wasn't growing, I wasn't learning, I was beginning not to agree with not much, but some of the content. There was an attitude. Also, the fact is that being that I am heavy into research from the university that I graduated from, I'm always looking to see, well, some of the information that came, I would pick up on, and I would come to my computer and I would do more extensive research. There were times when I went into the school library, and because I can pick it up, the university library here in my home, and I researched some of this information, and I just found more and more and more and kept reading it, and I couldn't come to any kind of a conclusion. So I just worded up, well, if someone's opinion, and I respect it, but I got to the point where I felt I was getting beat up, and I didn't really feel that the information, and I don't think that we should stand down on America no matter what. We should build up America. And so all those things together, I just felt that, well, let me go on to some other project.
Now, that's a good point. Harriet and I were having some discussions when she was going through this. Harriet,
yes.
I'll speak about you in your presence here, is a
That's
very
fine.
Genuine and sincere person who is honest, and she's doing her best to find the truth and share the truth with people, and she works really hard at this. And most people treat her with the same respect that she gives them, but she ran across a couple of folks. I don't think you want to mention their names necessarily.
No.
But they not only didn't respect her, but they didn't respect the information that she could prove was correct. And she's only trying to get to the truth. That's what we're all trying to find out, is all this conflicting information, all this crazy stuff that's out there, what's actually true and what does it mean? What are we supposed to do about it? These are really, really hard questions. And, you know, we all struggle with this every single day. So my advice, which fits in perfectly with your lifestyle, Harriet, was just, okay, great. Well, you've got the next project. You're already working on another project. You don't have time to waste. So when you do run across these people that I was discussing about earlier, the people who are either deliberately messing you around because they're nuts, they're mean, or they're a government plant, don't waste time with them. Don't get into a big, long discussion with them. Don't try and show them the error of their ways. They already know it. If they're not willing to be helpful and unifying, if they're not willing to be honest, find another project where you can – there are plenty of decent ones out there. Look, there are groups within my local area, which I basically consider a radius of about 150 miles. There may be 10 or 12 million people in that radius, even though I live in a pretty rural area. And there are groups all over the place. And I've been to dozens, scores of them already. Now, some of them are really great people, and some of them are really great people, and some of them could use a little bit of work, and I'm going to keep working with them as best I can, but there's so little time that when I run into a group like Steve's,
real quick,
that is
Dan,
just...
Dan, I apologize for chiming in on you, but speaking of a little bit of time, there's
top
only
the
about a minute and a half of the live time, folks. So we will be going into the extended version. And if you'd like to listen in, you can do that by calling 347-945-7428. And it does look like we have another one of our panelists who just called in, and that's Kelly Mordecai. It's great to see you, Kelly. We'll be bringing you in a little while, but first we want to bring in Jane. So if anyone wants to be a part or listen to the extended version, go ahead and call us at 347-945-7428. And if you don't, that's okay. We know it's late for some folks tonight. So thank you very much for coming to the show. And, of course, you can hear the rest of the show on the archive, which we do ask and do appreciate if you just share the link with other folks so they can hear the content as well. So for those who can't stay, take care. Have a good night. And we will see you next time. There will be a special show that we'll have on a rare Friday evening this evening with a candidate running for office in Illinois, and that is David Hale. Thank you very much. Go ahead, Dan. Thanks for letting me chime in there.
That's all right. You have business to do. And just to finish up real briefly, when I run across a group like Steve's, which is going gangbusters, or a group like Dean's, which is going, which is growing by leaps and bounds, and is, you know, almost from day one is making effective changes, I'm naturally going to gravitate to those areas where I can do the most and have the most impact. All of you patriots out there, if you're not already involved or if you're dissatisfied with your involvement, I guarantee you that there is something out there in your area. And maybe if you're an organizer, someone like Dean or Steve, maybe you can start something, and you can. There's a whole gamut of different organizations. You can have an umbrella group that sponsors you, like the Campaign for Liberty and so many others, or Americans for Prosperity, et cetera. Or, and I'm just mentioning one off the top of my head that I work with, which is very good, but there are others. Or you can be completely independent, like Steve's, and choose to affiliate voluntarily with any particular group that you share an issue with. So,
that's
go ahead.
Right. That's right. All right. The I'm going along my way. I'm happy. I'm making lemonade, and I'm meeting new groups. And What Liberty Dwells is a brand new group.
Where Liberty Dwells on Facebook is an excellent group.
Excellent, excellent. I couldn't be happier, and I have so many friends. I'm just delighted. Anyway, Heritage.
Heritage Action?
Heritage Action. I am on conference call with them every week. And Karen, J-A-R-O-C-H is on Facebook with me. And Dr. Rich Swire is on Facebook with me. And I'm writing articles. And the other, and I'm very, very happy. The other thing is I'd like to share a moment or two what I am doing in, with action involving getting our country back into America again. And these are the things that I myself am involved in because we're working at the grassroots and we have to make a difference. So this is what I'm doing. If people would want to listen and maybe take up some of my talking points. First of all, I joined True to Vote, which is a wonderful organization online. You're a volunteer. You go in and you learn to help with free and fair elections in the country, and you can get certification and work in the voting booth and follow their line, truetovote.org. The other thing that I've done is I joined my Republican Party, and I joined the REC branch of the conservative movement in my county, and I am bringing in new members, new people, and about 9 people who were from other parties are now have registered as Republicans in our county and are going to be conservatives. I also am on the committee here in my community, and I have a tracking of 660 Republican voters, and we're doing well. We're working, and I'm helping them as much as I can. What else? doing, and I'm writing. We're just doing so many things that are available that you personally, individually can get involved in. The Tea Party. I belong to our Tea Party in our community, and I am finding that people like me, they trust me, and they are following me. We have a website. It's called the Conservative Movement. That is Ocala people who have this website, and everyone is free to go in and see what they're doing, what they're writing. Mr. Goodman is a wonderful leader. So I feel that we don't have to sit and wait for someone else to make a bargain or to make a program. Get out there and start to work, and you'll see that things will fall into place.
May I just interrupt, Bob? The fellow that you were going to bring on earlier, I'm hearing some sounds, and if that fellow wants to talk, but I think if you still have his mic open, that's where those slightly rude noises are coming from.
Okay. Control, you there, or should I mute the mic?
I hear some heavy breathing over on there.
Well, it's some kind of wind sound.
I went ahead and I had to mute the mic because we gave ample opportunity from the command. I hope he wasn't having any kind of troubles there with his audio or his line or anything of that nature. But since I've got this opportunity, I do want to bring Jane in. And so, Jane, I'm opening up your mic. Thank you very much for calling into the show. How are you?
Hi, good. Thank you for having me.
I know that voice.
Hi, Steve.
Uh-oh, there's trouble. in the good light.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you about Jane real briefly. I call her Mama Patriot. Jane is Steve's mom and one of the most awesome ladies in the Patriot movement I've ever met.
Oh, Dan.
Yeah, she's a real Mama Grizzly, I'll tell you that. That's why she called. She's keeping after me.
I want to tell you this is the first time I ever listened to the show. And I want to congratulate you and your guests. It's a very interesting, educational show, and I really enjoy it. And I wish you all the best. I've learned a lot, and there's a lot of great people listening, and I encourage everybody, yes, to go to different groups. Seek out groups in your area. Get educated. Spread the word. Go to protests. Go to rallies. Go everywhere and get involved. Keep up the good work, everybody.
Well, that's what we're all here for. We're all here for uniting for the greater cause.
It's all for the cause of freedom of liberty and liberty. And Citizens for Liberty has all different walks of life in the group, and everybody is welcome, and yes, we listen to everybody's opinions. We might not agree with them, but they're all welcome there, and we do listen to them and try to educate everybody, and sometimes we get educated ourselves. That's what it's all about, for freedom and liberty.
Yeah, and if I might add to that real quick,
sure, go ahead.
You just reminded me of something. You're right. At a Citizens for Liberty meeting that we had several months ago, we gave a presentation on the dangers of Common Core. And there's also a United Nations connection, too, as well as with Bill Gates. But anyway, there was a liberal that showed up. A buddy of mine that usually attends said, listen, Steve, he kind of pulled me aside, said, please don't be upset. I brought, a Democrat. I'm like, the world's going to end. But no, it was fine. She gave, she had her different views, and she kind of gave the speaker a hard time because she disagreed with certain things. But guess what? I said, you know what? Your voice is heard. Everybody was respectful to her, and even though we don't agree with her, we might tell her that we don't agree with her, but guess what? We're all coming together. She's there. Let's hope that she comes back. Maybe she might learn something. That's what it should be about. We don't want to shut down people. We don't want to just preach to the choir every month. If you actually want to have a great group and actually make a change in our country and even beyond, we have to bring in outsiders. We have to bring in people that think differently in hopes to guide them towards liberty. So I just wanted to add on that.
That's
exactly.
A great point. Equal unity, people. Liberty equals
you
unity.
You always preach to the choir. You have to bring in other people and educate them, and that's what Citizens for Liberty tries to do while listening respectfully to other people's point of view.
Remember one thing also. There are an awful lot of people out there who are smart. Again, talk to them about sports or cooking shows or whatever it is they're really interested in, and they're experts. Mm-hmm. But they're not getting really good information. Harriet has to go to her university and spend hours and hours online trying to get to the root of what's actually occurring. Most people don't know that Heritage Foundation exists, much less the information that they have, which is all thoroughly vetted. You look at websites and you go, can I believe what I'm seeing? Is this true? Assuming that you have the time for this. People have jobs if they're lucky to have jobs. They have families, and if they're lucky enough to have families, and they have lives. And when you can get them to show up at these meetings, be gentle with them. Whatever they think that they believe is valid for them based on what they know. It isn't that they're evil people if they have wrong thoughts. It's that they don't know. And if you don't listen to them, they're not going to listen to you. So as Steve says and Jane says, if you listen and open your heart to hear what their true concern is, they may be repeating a line they hear on TV, but what is it they really are concerned about? You listen to them, they'll listen to you if you can show them evidence. The vast majority of people are not convinced just because someone says so. They're convinced because it's true in their lives. When somebody talks to me about, you know, some great new government program that's going to help people who are poor, I go like, what about your utility bills? What about your food bills? The government's been helping you all along. Hey, let's take your phone bill out. Don't give me the pages with all the numbers that you call. That's none of my business. Let's just look at the bottom line, what they charge you. What's that fee? What's that fee? What's that tax? Now, how much would your phone bill be without that? What do you get for that? That convinces people. Facts.
Exactly. And I believe that's a violation of free enterprise, you know, crony capitalism. Government shouldn't be doing that or taxing us using, you know, a contract that we developed with a private company. You know, it's ludicrous.
And speaking of that, and Dan, you were mentioning experts, I do want to bring in our constitutional expert and author, Kelly Mordecai. Thank you very much, Kelly. It's great to hear from you. How are you?
Hey, good. I was fighting the Zulu monster with my son at the Wee Lego. So,
right.
You know, got a family first. But, oh, gosh, several things. You know, unifying patriots, what's really a challenge is patriots, they are really thinkers. They are critical thinkers, and they're independent. And that critical thinking allows them to realize the Constitution is right and the country's kind of a mess up because we're going away from it. So that critical thinking causes another problem, which is being critical towards each other. And I like some of these points of listening. In fact, when I was younger, I would try to win in a political debate. That was a dumb thing to do. Newt Gingrich, I was seeing some kind of series or something where he was on like a regular TV show with people. He says, I didn't come to this debate to win. I thought about it, I'm like, that's stinking brilliant, because if you try to prove you're right and win and put somebody else down, you're not going to win them over. He came to discuss.
Exactly.
It's brilliant at what he said. And so, you know, that's one of the things I see with patriots. And another part of it is I had to put up with some frustrations. Our Republican chair here in Siskiyou County, his name's Donald Schweitzer, you know, sat around and had a glass of wine this a couple of years ago. He says, you know, politics is really tough. You start rising to the top, you see all sorts of egos and problems and fights. But if you're willing to put up with it, you can rise to the top, get an awful lot accomplished. And by the way, character Ron Paul, he's put up with, and Gingrich too, to get to that level, you've had to put up with a lot of stuff and have enormous patience. So that's just kind of one of the things I've observed, kind of aspire to be, is a little bit more patient. But I did want to go into something that's really important. The mainstream media probably did not cover this. It was the start of the downfall of President Nixon. It's the 40th anniversary of the famous Watergate 7 indictment. They were indicted by a grand jury on this date in 1974. And before that, it was, Woodward and Bernstein of the Washington Post were talking about all the scandals going on with Watergate and bugging the Watergate Hotel and blah, 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 starting, June of 72. And I think it was Five Berkowitz broke in to bug the Democratic headquarters. And everyone was poo-pooing. You can watch All the President's Men. If you do, they'll say they mentioned the grand jury about five times. But it wasn't Woodward and Bernstein that brought down a president. It's what's happened on this day 40 years ago. And even months before, because of the political pressure in the press, what was going on was internal. It was an internal. It was special. A special investigator hired by the Justice Department to look at the executive branch. No wrongdoing. He went on live TV. This special investigator. He said there is no wrongdoing in the White House, none whatsoever. The press interviewer pressed him very hard, and he said, look, we have spent 10,000 man hours. There is nothing wrong with the executive department or Nixon.
Elliot Richardson?
I can't remember who it was. But anyway, then on this date, former Attorney General John Mitchell was indicted. Chuck Colson, who was special counsel to the president, which he was pretty much second to the president. You had Ehrlichman, Haldeman. About seven of these jokers, and some in the committee to reelect, and that's where the funding was going. All
yeah, Mitchell, Magruder, Hunt, McCord, and
Magruder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Liddy, I think too got hit.
G. Gordon Liddy.
Yeah. So this shocked the nation. After this, oh, there's nothing wrong. 10,000 man hours. Boom! It shocked the nation. Well, then later that year in August of '74, I think it was August 9th, Nixon had resigned because from this grand jury, that information went to Congress. It went to the House Judicial Committee, where there was several items of impeachment that passed. It was two or three of these items that were unanimous, obviously Republicans and Democrats. Nixon realized, after it came out of that committee, it was headed to the floor of the House of Representatives, and Nixon says, we got a Democrat House and Senate. I'm out of here. He resigned. Had that grand jury indictment never happened, we would have heard no problems with Nixon, and he would be written in his history books as a hero. So 40 years ago today.
That's right. I'll tell everyone, I was a young pup back then, and I cut my teeth on the Watergate scandal as a teenager. I bought the transcripts with my own money that I got from mowing lawns.
Wow.
And paperboy route, and I watched those hearings. Remember we were supposed to see the Obamacare hearings live, gavel to gavel on C-SPAN. We never saw any of it. Well, they actually did that for the Watergate hearings, and it was incredibly informative, and I was so proud that our country could take down a corrupt man, and it looked like the danger was from the right, from Nixon, but the danger wasn't right or left. The danger was from somebody who thought that he was a royal, that he was a king, and now we've got another one, and it's a Nixon with a tan. Everyone gets a good laugh out of that. But had we the same honest Republicans and Democrats that we, or the same sort of people that we had back in 1972 through 74, Obama would be gone. Okay, he would have been gone a long time ago. There's more than one scandal here. I mean, the things that he's done, which are verified, factual, and true, not to mention the things that we think are true that don't pass the smell test, that we can't get an honest answer, and people don't even show up for hearings at the risk of perjury. Today, just Lois Lerner said, I'm not showing up. Look, the other side, the side of the progressive leaders, they have unity. They have incredible unity. They hang together. They don't talk out of turn. They don't say anything against each other. When one comes out with the approved talking point from George Soros's group, every single other outlet repeats it in without changing a word.
Lost
We're not
that.
Looking for that. That's not the kind of unity we want. But the unity of purpose is exactly identical. That's what we need. They have a purpose, which is to gain and accrete power in the hands of themselves. What we have a purpose of doing is to take that power and distribute it among as many people as possible. Here in Pennsylvania, I have a township board of supervisors. There are three of them. I know all three of them. I live within a few blocks of each one of them. I can speak to them any given day. When something happens locally, they hear what we have to say. Our township meetings are a mile away. We can go. It's publicized. They don't have closed-door sessions. The county commission. I've spoken before the county commissioners many times over the years. Same deal. They don't have closed-door hearings. It's all open. If you have the time and you're willing to, you can go there and you can speak. Your school boards, you can speak. We're not looking to speak with one voice. You can be for one particular issue or another. I know Harriet has a very strong issue with treating our veterans properly, and that's something that resonates with a lot of people. But there are other people it doesn't resonate so much with. That doesn't mean it's a wrong cause, and it's definitely worth fighting. What it means is that if you're not strongly enough, feeling enough to go and support somebody who's fighting for that same cause as Harriet is, that's okay. Pick a different one. But don't talk it down. Don't say, oh, that's not important. Don't say, well, we have better things to do in public. If you feel that, then do as the rest of us have done. Find something that you can get behind that does help us. That's an interesting history lesson.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, I want to go off your
real
point.
Real quick, Ellie, real quick, and I want to bring James in for a little bit, have him bring comments. We'll come back to it. I like to bring it around so that, you know, people get a good amount of time each. So, James, I want to bring in. I think, Cindy, you had something for James as well. So, James, go ahead. And then we'll come back to that, Kelly, I promise. Go ahead.
Well, it was funny that he brought up Watergate and all that mess because our lovely What Difference Does It Make Hillary Clinton was fired from that commission for lying. But yet somehow that woman's political career survived, you know. And then you brought up how lockstep the progressives, you know, work together, and that's Republican and Democrat alike. Don't get, you know, I'm not putting this all on the Democrats because let's face it, you know, John McCain is clearly on their side.
And there's a lot of decent, regular people who identify themselves as Democrats who aren't evil.
No, not at all. But honestly, I think the only thing that will stop this and allow us to fix things in an expedient manner is for people to go to prison.
Well, as a matter of fact, I've got the Wikipedia page up here, and Watergate scandal resulted in 69 government officials being charged and 48 being found guilty.
Wow.
That's on one scandal. If the Obama administration was properly vetted, the House of Representatives, and then following any impeachment hearings investigations, we had grand juries who were going after any real crimes, I think it would be in the hundreds, perhaps thousands. They are rife with corruption.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the vast majority of our elected officials and appointed officials and their immediate underlings whom they appointed would all end up with felonies.
You know what? They should be very glad that we're doing this because here's the choice they have. We don't have a choice, as I said. I won't live as a slave. I won't sentence my children to that, or my child. I only have one. So I don't have a choice, and they do, because here's the deal. If they push this too far, if they push us to the point of insurrection, if they refuse to give up their power, we're going to win anyway, and they don't get the option of a fair trial.
Well, what they don't understand is they're outnumbered 317 million to 535.
And there are 100 million armed Americans with 300 million guns.
Exactly.
And we're not about to give those things up. Now, if they give up power voluntarily, they get the following benefits. First of all, they get the benefit of a free, fair trial. And some of them won't be found guilty or they'll be convicted of lesser offenses, or they'll spend very little time and get out and they're done and they can go on with their lives. And many of them, even if they are found guilty, will find their way to have a chance to try and seek office or power or influence again. They can write a book when they're all done. They can go on a speaking tour. I mean, G. Gordon Liddy became a conservative talk show host. We had people like, who was it you mentioned, Chuck Colson, who became a minister ministering to prisoners and had a very good career after that. He was doing decent things. They have a life available to them. But keeping in mind that if we're pushed too far and push comes to shove, they lose anyway. In return for that favor, in return for putting our families in jeopardy, in return for the collateral damage that would undoubtedly result from open bloodshed, which is something we all find abhorrent, they cannot count on any sort of special consideration or any consideration at all. So they had best think real hard about what they're pushing us towards.
I agree, Dan. The thing is, it's like none of us wants a war. But guess what? Like, what's happening, for example, I'm going to just throw this out there, in Connecticut right now, you have tens of thousands of law-abiding citizens who own firearms.
No, they're criminals. Rifle. They're felons now.
According to the federal government, they are felons because what they're doing is engaging in civil disobedience. They're saying no. You know, the thing is, none of us want a revolution, but God forbid, I think every single one of us who consider ourselves patriots will give up, you know, our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor just to fight for what's right. You know, we don't want a revolution, a bloody revolution. I believe one thing that we could ask for and achieve is a velvet revolution. We could do this peacefully.
That's right.
I'm just going to quote Captain John Parker. You know, we have to stand our ground. We don't want to fire unless fired upon, but God forbid, they mean to have a war. Let it begin here, you know, because we're not going to back down. This is our livelihood. This is our Constitution, and we're not going to just go down soft. We're going to go down kicking and screaming.
It's
the
about
is,
more
even,
than just...
Even if we lose, at least we did something.
It's about more than just ideals. It's about more than just philosophical ideas. It's about more than an old scrap of parchment with a bunch of words on it. It's about basic rights that don't come from government, that don't come from the Constitution. They were merely recognized there. That come from God,
exactly.
That human beings have. And in America, I have the right to say what I want, to worship or not worship as I please, to speak as I want. I have the right to protect myself and my family and my neighbors from any sort of danger using any sort of weapon that is readily available, common usage, and that the military has. I have the right, under God, to keep them out of my house unless there's a valid warrant. I have the right, under God, not to be tortured or forced into a coerced confession, and to have a jury trial of my peers, not directed by some idiot judge who is appointed to a position and basically for life. These things are rights. They are not from the government, and they are real. I have the right to the prosperity that liberty brings. I used to pull in six figures plus on my own in my own business. I'm grateful now to have a job working for the state, working my you-know-what off, and some of us do, for a pittance compared to what I could make in the private industry doing the same job 10 years ago, and nowhere near what I could make if they would just take these regulations off us, and I could start my own business like Dean has. Okay, and he's struggling to keep his open, and he can't even treat his workers the way he traditionally has because of even more regulations on top of regulations, rules by experts who don't follow those rules, rules that are supposed to make life better and never seem to accomplish the task. The one question you ask any progressive who says that the government has a better idea, that we should have another law, is how well has it worked for you so far? Name me one program that works. One.
Very good question. I don't think they'll come up with a good answer. But, Cindy, I know you had a question there for James, and then I want to bring Kelly back in after that. So go ahead, Cindy.
Oh, that's okay. I was just gonna make a suggestion, but I can talk to him tomorrow on message. It's just about overpass and stuff. We're doing something here in our town that I think would be kind of good for him to do in Washington too. So. James.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well.
Hello. Yes.
It'll take a little while. Am I on?
You are on,
Cindy.
Oh, okay. it'll take a little while to explain it. So let me message you tomorrow or something. I'll message you my phone number or something, because I think the plan that we're doing this week, the next weekend, for Bike Week, I think it would work really well for Washington too. Something you guys can do. So anyway, you might already be doing it. I don't know. But I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Now, one thing that I wanted to add there at the end is that what we have got to be, we can't mince words about it. We are in this country, within the borders of the United States of America, we are at war. We may not be shooting at each other yet, but this nation is at war. You could look at the Cold War and the ideologies of the United States then and the Soviet Union then, and you look at what's going on in the United States right now, and we are at war. We're at war for the future of this country, and we cannot take it any more lightly than that, because it's nothing less than that. We are in a state of war with the enemies of freedom and liberty, period. It's something that's always existed. I mean, ever since the creation of the Fed, it's gotten increasingly worse. Money has become more concentrated at the top, and, you know, the whole of the United States is slowly but surely been converted from citizens and servant politicians to royalty and serfs. And we cannot forget that, because it is the reality in which we live in now. And unless we treat what's happening right here and right now as serious as a deadly shooting war, we will lose. There is no other option but to look at it like that. You know, we have got to put ourselves out there in ways that we never imagined that would be necessary, because they are necessary now. Like I say, that's one thing that that I've enjoyed, ever since starting Overpasses was the amount of people that are awake, and when you finally get that spark to turn on with somebody, when it finally dawns on them just exactly how serious, you know, what the gravity of the situation is. But we need to do, you know, we really need to look at it that seriously, as if we are being shot at, because if we don't, we will be.
Well, as a matter of fact, if you look at the, I was with law enforcement years ago, and law enforcement reflects the community and it reflects the political leadership. In a good community, you have peace officers who want to serve, who are decent people. But it's just like any other profession that has power, whether it's the medical profession or the teaching profession, people that work with children or the elderly. It does also attract people who want to have unwholesome power over people. The people who are like abusers, rapists. In a corrupt society, with corrupt leadership, you have people who want to steal, and that's what you get in the police department. But what we have now, more and more, and there are, I'm not accusing blanket across the board all police officers by any means, or even the majority of them. I know so many law enforcement officers who are very decent, honorable people, oath keepers, people who are...
Yes.
They put their lives at risk for us every day, and it's a very difficult job. But more and more, it's attracting those sorts of people who are thugs. There is no better word for them. people who shoot first and ask questions later, who enjoy making others, especially people who are no threat to them, cower, people who enjoy using disproportionate amounts of force. When somebody raises their voice, it means tase them or hit them with the pepper spray. When somebody moves their arms, it means you have to beat them up. When somebody won't stop moving, whether it's because they're struggling or they're just in pain, it's an excuse to shoot them. And unfortunately, these incidents, which were vanishingly rare in the past, when I was growing up in the city of Philadelphia with Frank Rizzo as the police chief and then mayor, these things rarely happened. And when there were any of these sorts of things, it was to really, really, really bad guys. Really bad guys. The guys who would beat up some old woman who was trying to get food for her family at 3 a.m. at the Italian market in Philadelphia. And then the police got him, and he fell down the stairs in the roundhouse in police headquarters five times, and it's only two stories tall. Okay?
Wow.
These things happen, but those are the kind of guys that happen to. Now, moms with their children, old people, they're arresting and beating up 80-year-old people, and thank God we have cameras because we're catching these things, and everyone is aware of this. I don't want to fear the police or hate the police. I don't want to resent the police. I want them to do their jobs. It's required. There are bad people out there. There is a requirement for regulation in some places. It's good to have people. I don't think if somebody goes whipping around a school bus that has its lights flashing at 60 miles an hour, I think they should be stopped and their license taken away and their car impounded. That's bad behavior. And the police officer has that job, and it's a dangerous job. But
have we been told, Dan, the real story of that quote-unquote crazy lady who tried to crash through the gates of the White House a few
months
ago? They chased her down and shot her dead.
She was not afraid to anyone.
Example of abuse of by our police and law enforcement.
It happens.
Was absolutely necessary.
It happens so often anymore that when you see every single day there's more incidents on the news, and it's across the country. They're taking police departments and turning them from local law enforcement agencies that simply try and keep the peace in most instances, get people to shake hands if they've beaten each other up, take them to the hospital, see if anyone wants to press charges, and turn them into paramilitary organizations where they're better armored than guys in combat in Afghanistan, and now they're being given combat equipment from Afghanistan. This is unacceptable.
Well, that's the grand plan. Just look at it. It's the police state. Our federal government wants to nationalize our local police. They're, you know, Homeland Security is basically fusing all of the local police departments and the sheriffs together with local fusion centers that are based around the country regionally.
And you've got one in your neighborhood.
They want a paramilitary. Would you say?
And you've got one in your neighborhood that you were protesting against.
Exactly. And it's just pathetic. I was talking to a police officer, and he was telling me, he's like, listen, now, you know, we're not peace officers anymore, even though there's good ones. This guy I was talking to nowadays, he's like, listen, I'm from a small town. If I pulled you over and if you were drunk, you know what? I'd drive you home and tell you to pick your car up in the morning. Nowadays, guess what? If you have two beers, you go for a drive, your life's ruined for 2 years. You get a DUI and, you know, your license is screwed up. But just nowadays, what the police are doing, they're actually getting taught that everybody is a criminal. Everybody has a weapon on them, God forbid.
Everybody's their enemy.
Exactly. They're arming them, and they're giving them paramilitary tanks. Just look at, for example, what happened in Boston, going to door-to-door with these big guns, going in people's houses looking for two so-called terrorists that weren't even in that neighborhood. It's just pathetic. It seems like what they're doing is they're using a psyops, preparing us for what to accept later. It's like they're doing it incrementally. This town here might get a drone. You know, for example, out west, there's a sheriff's department that's going to have a drone that has – they're even talking about hooking up, you know, some kind of – something that shoots rubber bullets, you know. I have the former sheriff who just resigned in Montgomery County telling me that they just applied I believe, 6 months ago for a Homeland Security grant.
Oh,
and
for the drug
what?
Dogs.
Yeah,
the
with the drug
sniffing dogs.
Yep.
Yeah.
The bomb sniffing dogs. And guess what? Once these local police stations, community sheriffs in your county or whatever apply for a grant from Homeland Security, there's always a stipulation. Well, guess what?
Oh,
now all of a sudden they bomb sniffing dogs, and guess what? Homeland Security was telling her, maybe you should start using them, or, you know, on protesters if there's ever any kind of civil unrest. You know, we're living in an ever-growing police state. And I think we need to support our oath keepers, just like Dan said. We really do. Keep
all right,
our
and
law.
And not only,
let's
let
quick,
Bob
James,
get his show.
Real quick, James, I want to bring, real quick, gentlemen, I do want to bring Kelly back in, and then, cause we, unfortunately, we only have about 20 minutes left of the show. So I do want to bring Kelly back in, and then Harriet, you get a few things you want to talk about as well, and then we'll have to start getting ready to close things out for this evening. I mean, I wish we had more time. We could go on. I'm sure we could, and then it'd be great if we could have all of us back on for another show in the not too distant future. I know,
you know, Bob,
we're
I'll tell you what.
Up,
if we were
so,
on TV, Bob, if we were on TV, this would be better than the Five.
Oh, I
sure.
think so.
That's actually a very good idea.
There we go. I have to get us televised, even though I do have a face for radio, but no. I'm just
kidding.
I don't want to waste time for that. But on me saying stuff like that. But go ahead, Kelly, and then we'll bring it to Harriet, and then unfortunately we'll have to start getting ready to close some things out with some,
okay,
some parting comments from you guys.
Okay,
so
well, yeah,
Kelly,
Robert.
And Harriet.
Okay, well, yeah, well, you know what? My first radio appearance was 2 hours away. It was a live radio show, and I cut my hair just for that special occasion. All right. Anyway, let's see. Police getting out of control. On Friday, I picked up the paper from the San Francisco Chronicle, which I rarely ever read the liberal rag. But there were six police officers, San Francisco. They were just kind of going, and people fell on the ground what they want. No warrant, no nothing. Grand jury, federal, hammering them. They're in jail, awaiting prosecution. But I also want to go back to a little bit more about Patriot Liberty. And Dan was alluding to it, and I just thought I'd kind of follow up with that. There are people that have their focuses. We got, you know, like, I mean, of course, grand jury, but we got some people that are really excellent writers. You know, like Dan here, we've got people like David Callahan, revitalize the Second Amendment. You have got so many, well, some people unify the veterans, some people do the local Tea Party. There's the Defend Not Amend group. There is election fraud group. Beverly, what's her name, up in Washington, who caused some major upheaval in California, which was good, by the way. And it's really good to, I think, support individuals. You know, you got Sheriff Mack, and, you know, Oath Keepers and people fighting against Agenda 21, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I like to encourage people to continue on their focuses, and if they have a question, come talk to me, or I got a question, I go call them, and we'll keep each other aware of things. It's when people push each other to do their cause, and their cause only, that we cause a lot of friction. So that was one thing. And by the way, Jim Condit Jr., he's in the precinct strategy. And which, by the way, he's coming on the show next week, right, Robert?
Yes, he's slated to come on the 12th, which is next Wednesday.
Yeah, so I another comment about Jim. You know, I've been working on this constitutional challenge, which, you know, it's a job interview for congressmen, 20 questions, true, false, multiple choice. And he has committed to doing this, and he's running in Speaker of the House John Boehner's district. And when I asked him, he didn't say yes. He said gladly, to show that he knows the Constitution instead of these schmucks who claim it and don't know diddly squat. I put a call to Eric Gurr's office. That's his competitor, who is a Republican primary candidate. That's getting $3,000 a day. People are tired of John Boehner. But you know, yeah, it's people have their focuses, and we got a good guest coming in next week, and. You know, we might talk a little bit about the constitutional challenge or whatever, but that's just, I think there's great unity in the sense of letting people do what is their specialty and encourage them with that.
Speaking of specialty, I think that's a good segue to you, Harriet. We've got a couple minutes, and then we'll be closing things out. We'll take about a minute of closing remarks from James, and then we'll have our guests, and then Dan, and then I'll close things out. Go ahead, Harriet.
Oh, I just want to congratulate the program this evening, and it was wonderful to meet new people. And I hope that the show will continue at growing at the rate it is. Thank you, Dan, for your support with me this evening. And I think that from the grassroots, there's much we can do as individuals as well as in groups. So until next week, I'm going to say good night.
Well, good night, Harriet. It's always a pleasure to have you on, and you're welcome. And then if you have time Friday night, we do have a special Friday night show this coming up Friday where I'll be interviewing David Hale, who is running for the U.S. Congress in Illinois. And so
is it going to be this Friday?
Yes, it's this Friday because their primary is the 18th. And this was the only time where he would have time to come on. So in order to do that, I went ahead and going to be scheduling a show with him, an impromptu show on for Friday.
And what time will that be?
It'll be 10 p.m. Eastern time.
7?
10.
10.
Oh, 10. 10 Friday.
Yeah,
this Friday. Okay.
Yes, this Friday,
okay.
Time of the normal time. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Will do.
Harriet, I would just want to say, my wife wouldn't mind if I said this. I love you. You're wonderful.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And I love her, too.
Okay.
Good night, Harriet. And so, James is going to give us a parting comments, and then we'll bring it over. And this way, we'll go you, James, and then Steve and Dean, and then Dan, and then when it gets to about 5 minutes to the hour, which is in 10 minutes, then I'll go ahead and close things off. So each one of you guys have about 2 minutes. So go ahead, James.
Well, we've all got to do something. And if we can do it where we're working together, that's all the better. The fact is this is going to take some work. If we persevere and if we win, we've got a battle ahead of us to free this country. In order to get our nation back in financial order, there will be some people who will do without things that they become accustomed to, and they won't be happy about it. But it's kind of like tearing off a Band-Aid. You can peel it off real slow and suffer with it, or you can tear it off real quick, and in a short amount of time, the pain goes away and you're back to normal and everything is good. We're going to have to decide which one we're going to do. Are we going to are we going to rip the Band-Aid off, or are we going to slowly peel it off and make ourselves suffer even longer? But we cannot continue at this current rate. Our national debt that they tell us about is sitting around $18 trillion, but our unfunded debts across America are over $200 trillion, and we just can't continue on that path. We will collapse. There is no way about it, and so we're going to have to make the tough choices, and we're going to have to quit crying about it as a nation, and we're just going to get used to not having certain luxuries that the government has been bringing us more and more of over the last 60 years. Our nation did just fine without any of these progressive programs that have slowly enveloped our nation. And we
no Obama phone, James?
What's that?
No Obama phones anymore?
No. I wouldn't even give somebody a free landline. Go to your neighbor's house.
It used to be a day when we didn't have any phones. How do we ever survive?
He was pretty tough.
Yeah, and that's really what we've got to get it down to is, we've got to get our government back to the basics, back to its essential purposes, and all this frill stuff. I mean, it's like you could go buy a Cadillac Escalade, but won't that Kia get you to the same place and with a longer warranty?
and better gas mileage. With that, James, thank you very much for coming on. It's great to hear you back on, and you're feeling better, and we look forward to having you, you know, coming on again next week, and hopefully if you can make it Friday. But at this time, we do need to move it over to Steve, so go ahead, Steve. Thank you.
Well, I just wanted to thank you for having me on the program. I really do appreciate it, and just wanted to give a big thank you to Dan Gray for having me on. If, you know, it wasn't for him, I would never even heard of this show, respectfully. So I'm going to bookmark it on the Internet and listen to it, I guess, every Wednesday night, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, and, hey, even Friday. So I just wanted to make a closing announcement and let everybody know if they're looking to get involved, you know, find a local Patriot group or a Liberty group or anybody that, you know, cares about our Constitution and our unalienable rights. I just wanted to give my information out there. If anybody's interested in checking out the website for Citizens for Liberty, you can go to citizensforliberty.net. You know, it's not about us. It's about the greater cause. We do our own thing. We're an independent group, but we work with a lot of other groups out there that have the similar cause. I also wanted to let everybody know and all the listeners that we do have a meeting coming up in the Philadelphia area. You can also find that on the website. It's actually one of the year's hottest topics. I have a feeling it's going to be about a Article V Convention of the States, as Mark Levin once just put out in his book recently. Citizens for Liberty is going to invite the president of the John Birch Society, John F. McManus, to speak about the dangers of an Article V Convention of the States. And might I add that it seems like half the Patriot movement is for this. The other half of the Patriot movement is against an Article V Constitutional Convention. So I don't really want to see that divide us. You know, I'm against it because I see that there's a threat out there that exists that wants to destroy our Constitution through an Article V Constitutional Convention. But I want to let everybody know it's a very important subject. Personally, I'm against it, but don't listen to me. Do your own research. And if everybody could please just, you know, see the benefits and the cons. Do your own research. You know, if you're for it or against it, you know, it's up to you. And I really hope that this doesn't divide the Patriot movement, because it seems like, in my perspective, that a lot of the liberty groups and the Ron Paul groups and the libertarians and the constitutionalists are against it, and the Tea Party and the neocons are for this particular issue. So I really don't want to see us get divided. We should all be united. Listen, if we all just get divided on this one issue, we're going to lose. Do not let this one issue divide us. So I just want everybody to know that even if we disagree, I'm going to use this as an example, even if we disagree on this specific issue or several other issues, let's come together on issues that we can. We're not enemies. We may disagree on certain things, but we're patriots. We're friends. We're fellow lovers of liberty. We can all agree on that in the end. So I just want to thank you very much for having me on, and God bless.
Well, you're welcome to come on anytime. We appreciate you having on the show. We'll bring it over to you, Dean. Go ahead.
Hey, just want to thank you, Bob, Dan, for inviting me on tonight. This was my first experience doing something like this, and I'm thrilled about it. I just want to, if I may, plug our meetings coming up next Wednesday in Berks County, Bethel, Pennsylvania. As I mentioned earlier, we're holding a forum with the local candidates, as well as David Baldinger, the author of our Property Independence Act, coming out and explaining and taking questions on that. And the following month, on April 9th, we are having the nearly famous Dan Gray. I guess after tonight you are famous, Dan. So officially,
I'll be there.
And he will be there, and he will be one of two speakers on national right to work issues. And we're really looking forward to that, and we're going to be sharing some of our new objectives as well. I'm also excited to announce that on April 19th, 1775, if you recall, in Lexington, Massachusetts, was the shot heard around the world. Well, that is a date that will, in Pennsylvania, will be a shot heard around Pennsylvania as we hold our first Foundation for Applied Conservative Leadership training session on Saturday, April 19th, in the Western Philadelphia area, and there'll be more information coming forth for that. We look forward to seeing some of you folks out for that. So thank you for having me on and for providing this open forum and media to educate the masses. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome, and you too. Thank you for coming on, and you're welcome anytime to come back. And so we'll bring it to you, Dan. Thank you very much. Got a couple minutes, and then I'll have to close things up.
Okay. Well, let's see. I'd like to take notes. Addressing in order, James's comment about the Band-Aid, he's got a very good point. I love that analogy because everyone gets it, and we got this when we were little kids. But it's not quite complete. He's right. It's like a Band-Aid being ripped off slowly or quickly. Do we want to suffer for a small time, for a purpose, for liberty, for prosperity, or do we want to suffer endlessly while that thing is being pulled off real quick, slowly? But it's worse than that, because if we lose, we're not getting a Band-Aid. We're going to get salt poured on our wounds all the time. Now, to look at what Steve was talking about, the Article 5 Convention, V is Roman numeral 5. The people who are against it for obvious philosophical reasons and also for practical reasons. I'm against it for practical reasons. It's not that there's anything wrong with the Constitution. It's that we didn't follow it. It has no power. It's a piece of parchment. We can't expect a piece of paper to do anything any more than my firearm is going to suddenly get up, walk out of the house, and commit a felony. It doesn't happen without a person behind it. Well, we haven't been behind our Constitution. It's our fault. Here in Schuylkill County, Pennsylvania, which is the anthracite coal region, if it's convenient to any of you, March 22nd, we will be having one of the proponents of Article 5 come in and speak to us. And yes, I have convinced the libertarians and the Tea Party people and the traditional Republicans who all were, I won't use the word, but griping at me about it, to all show up, listen real carefully, and then ask some really hard questions, because I'm with Steve. I don't like this idea, and some of the people sponsoring it not only include some of the rhinos and within the Tea Party who have infiltrated the Tea Party, in my opinion, or been corrupted by the progressives once they were, got into positions of power in the Tea Party. We're not immune to that either. Among the sponsors, if you do your due diligent research of Article 5, Convention of States, is George Soros and his umbrella of organizations.
Yes.
Once a convention is called, they can write anything into law. They can amend anything that exists. I don't want to change a single word of our Constitution. As far as what Dean said, first, Dean, personally, I want you to listen very carefully to yourself on the podcast. This is new to you, and this may have been your first time. You sounded good, buddy.
Thank you. You really did.
And I would also urge everybody who is in Pennsylvania, I had to drive miles to get to a Foundation for Applied Leadership conference in New Jersey. It took hours to get there. It was worth every minute, and it's cheap to go to, and you will get a thorough, very professional presentation on how to be effective in influencing power politics. And that's not by going to your politician and buddying up to him and having him, oh, look, he's got my number on his speed dial. He talks to me and then does the wrong thing. It's forcing the people who are not willing to do the right thing in positions of power on their own to do it anyway or to get out. Because I've got local people here who represent me, and they've had moments where they were less than perfect. And the only reason they're still in right now is because, I'll finish up real quick, Bob, is because we held their feet to the fire and reminded them of what was important and what we would accept and what we would not. So thank you, and over to you, Bob.
Well, thank you very much. And I hate to interrupt you that, but it is that time. So, and I don't like it us getting cut off, in the middle of people saying something. Thank you very much, Steve and Dean. Thank you, Dan, for bringing them on. And, of course, for Harriet and James and sending everyone listening in and contributing tonight, either whether you contributed to the call or contributed in the chat. So we really appreciate it. And we do look forward to seeing everyone at some point in time, especially if it would be this Friday or next week, where we will have Jim Condon Jr., who is running against Boehner here in Ohio. So check that out, and we'll also see and hear it. We'll not see, but hear about the constitutional challenge probably from Kelly. And so I want to say good night, everyone. Take care. We'll see you then. And I will end tonight as I do every night, and that is with the song from Aubrey Ashburn, where you can hear more of her music by going to www.aubreyashburn.com. Take care, folks, and good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.